Recording. Yeah, we're recording, so we're good to go, sir. Whenever you guys are ready. I guess Kevin gets a nice frosty beverages. Yeah, that's it. Just make noises. Everybody fucking loves that shit.
It's the last show of 2019 on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. As we move forward to 2020, we're going to talk New Japan's Pro Wrestling Wrestle Kingdom
14. And I'm going to talk shit all over it.
We're going to do our picks. We're going to talk AEW, WWE, MLW, and so much more. All next on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on Rantium Radio and available on all podcast platforms and at ShiningWizards.com. Find us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Our merchandise is available at ShiningWizards.com/merch. Do your Amazon shopping with us at Amazon.ShiningWizards.com and become a patron at Patreon.com/WizardsPodcast. As always, thank you for your continued support and enjoy the show.
This is Scott Steiner, and you're listening to the Shining Wizard Wrestling Podcast.
What's up, fuckers?
I love the big package.
Hell yeah! God damn!
The final episode of The Shining Wizards forever for the decade of the 10s until we start next year in the decade of the 20s, the roaring 20s. But before we get there, we've got one more episode to do. Thank you for joining us live on Rantium Radio. Thank you for joining us on the download skis or the stream skis, wherever you skis or skied. Welcome to The Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
Tony.
Kevin.
Matt.
Did I scare you guys by saying it's the last episode?
No, I hate you because you said, till next year, you fucking jerk off.
I will say this, though. I did like the Roaring 20s thing.
Hey, the Roaring 20s are coming back. Maybe the ladies will start dressing like the flappers and with the heels. And
who
the...
wants that?
I do. That's some sexy shit, dude.
Bring some classy back.
Hell yeah, man.
That's right.
No one wants classy. We want you to keep wearing those fucking Lululemon pants that we can see through and see your fucking underwear and your camel toe.
What are Lululemon pants?
The fucking black stretchy pants that only...
Yoga pants?
Yeah.
Tired of those yoga pants and wigwam socks and fucking Keds and...
Wigwams, nice.
Get the fuck out of here.
Keds.
Shit.
I like a wigwam.
You guys know a lot more about fashion than I thought you guys... did.
Well, I attended Catholic school for like 18 years.
So they wore yoga pants and
no,
wigwams?
No, they wore the wigwam socks.
What are the wigwam socks?
They're like, when you push them down, they're like really thick and kind of crinkly, wrinkly.
So like, for what would the male equivalent be for wigwam socks?
If the turnbuckle throwbacks here, the monitors would be on, I'd be able to pull up a wigwam sock for you, but they're not here tonight.
How about
so.
You pull out my putt and yank on it about 50 times?
Would they
times?
Be like those long socks with like the stripes at the top that if you push down... Not
he's gonna look up
top.
A wigwam.
The stripes at the top?
No, like, no stripes. Those are athletic socks.
Yeah, athletic. Yeah, but if you pushed them down, they'd
No.
These
different.
Are specifically designed to be
look
pushed
like
down and look
Native
like
American
wigwams.
Households.
Yes, and when you open the package, it says, "Hey, how are you?"
All right, we'll chalk up for the last
wolf
first racist thing of the last episode.
Well, there you go.
First racist.
No, these pick. I don't know. He's muttering and stuttering.
No, that was right.
The last racist thing of the decade.
The first racist thing of the last episode is what I said.
His wigwam. Feet stink. Leave him alone.
My feet definitely stink.
Yo, yours fucking reek, dude.
And one, baby.
I've been in the sneakers all day.
Sneakers.
Working, schlepping it up.
I don't know why it's giving me these awful like shopping images. Why can't they just give me some chicks wearing these things?
I don't know.
Ah, here we go.
Chicks wearing
here we go. Famous fashion fads from the 80s. These is them's is those is the wigwams.
Wigwams.
Oh, so they're oh, all right. I've seen those. Yeah. I thought wigwams. Those were like leg warmers.
They're pseudo, but they're socks, and you just
wig
push
warmers.
Them down.
Pseudo wigwams.
Wigwammers.
Wigger Wammers.
Whoa!
What's with you with the wigger thing today?
Oh, God, I didn't even notice that. Wigger Wammers. Wow. Let me ring the bell of myself. Oof. Didn't mean that, but there you go.
So how was y'all's Christmas?
Christmas was pretty swank, dude.
Swank?
Yes.
Hillary?
Because as of next week, God willing, we will be starting the episode with brand new computer, with brand new software. So hopefully we'll be at less of a glitch and more of a good time.
Was that a gift? You got a nice little, you got a new?
Yeah, right here, baby.
Look at you. Somebody loves you.
I'm a little concerned about that.
I'm kind of shocked myself, Kev.
Yeah, I thought you were going to get a bag full of fucking divorce papers.
Or a new Impala.
This concerns me.
Uh-oh.
Because from what I was told when I arrived, he essentially can play whatever he wants now through his computer.
Oh, yes.
Into the middle of the show.
Oh, yes.
Wait, what do you mean? Can he do that anyway?
No, well, normally I'd have to feed things into the soundboard and then play them by pressing buttons. Now this software I have can play anything from my laptop through your ears and through the feed and through everything.
Which, we have two courses of action that are going to happen.
Uh-oh.
A, he's going to destroy every show because when he goes, instead of going Indian style now, he'll be able to look.
Whoa, Indian style?
Yeah, when you
wigwams?
Why don't you just say cross-legged?
Who gives a shit? Indian fucking that's Indians less, out there anymore.
That's less than what you said. You said two things already.
He's either going to not do that and just scour the internet to play fucking any sound possible.
So like, I thought you meant, I'm still thinking we're talking soundboard here. He could play anything.
He bypasses the soundboard.
Yes, I don't need the soundboard.
So if he opens his Google Chrome and he goes to YouTube, he can play whatever he wants. He doesn't have to
pull it. I don't need Dickhead to pull anything up, nothing.
He can just pull whatever he wants. So he's going to ruin every show when he gets tired of whatever conversation he punches out of.
Probably like today.
He can't today, though. This isn't on his new...
Oh, yeah, this is the old one. I figure we'll ring in the new year with the new equipment next week. I will do it when Matt's not here.
I'm just going to smash him. I'm going to punch, beat the shit out of him.
That's not very nice.
Well, you you can be a little aggressive with the soundboard.
Me?
Yo.
You're Mr. fucking Mattis Interruptus with the soundboard. You've got no skills. Choppy's trying to say something last week, and you're like, I hate your guts.
He's not fucking important. Come on.
Come on, yeah. Agreed.
That's why I chose
his name.
He's
got fucking both of his talons out the door. He's gone. Fucking Jay in 2020.
Forgot about that. That barefoot fuck.
Wow.
So how was Christmas?
Chippy McTalon.
I told you about mine. How was yours?
It was good. Kevin?
No complaints.
That's it? It was good?
Well, no. I started with the question, so I wanted to come back to me. That's all.
Oh, because he needs to be the last one to talk.
No, I could be the second one to talk.
All right, Tony, it makes sense that he would be the last one when he's the one that poses the question.
But you guys were like, yeah, it was great. It was great.
What do you want me to say? I had a good time with my family.
Well, all right, it's better than just saying it was great.
Did you get anything like a computer?
I did not get a computer.
Did you get any wrestling-related gifts?
No. Oh, I didn't put out a wish. I don't ask for anything anymore. So whatever they get me.
What'd they get you? Dungarees?
Oh, I did get a my dad's a little technologically not quite up to date with stuff.
Did you get an iPod?
That's right.
I was gonna say new wires for his 2600.
No, he said when you want a new iPhone, because I still have an iPhone 5, you do the work, I'll take care of it. So I'll be having a new phone by the new year. So,
you did the wedding,
huh? I didn't do it yet, but I'm waiting.
You got 2 days, Kev.
No, I'm waiting till after the the little stretch is done when people kind of settle down. So I'm not going to the store and it's crazy town.
You want to take bets as to whether or not he ever gets it done?
I'm gonna February.
No,
I'm thinking March.
I'll do it within the next week.
All right,
probably.
You have to let me know next week. I'll listen.
I will text you on your vacation.
Yeah, thing. Baby. Vacation. Yeah. Hopefully I see.
All right. So it might actually be like 2 weeks.
No, there you go.
Well, because my dad's actually in Florida right now. So he's not coming back till next week.
I hope I see fucking Zack Ryder. I'm going to take a million pictures with him.
Zack who?
Ryder.
Or?
Chelsea?
Wheeler?
No.
Oh.
Because they live by Disney and they're always there.
They are always there. They're still here.
I was on fire yesterday on Twitter. I got a response from Zack Ryder, and I got a response from Michael Bennett.
Wait, on our
podcast? Yeah.
Wait, what did he say? What did Ryder, Broski say? Because he doesn't respond to anything I say.
He probably don't ask fun questions.
Yeah, but he got mad at you for that whole, is this a gimmick thing?
I think he misinterpreted my question, but that's neither here nor there. He was doing something, and he was taking questions, and I said, what's the holy grail of your, you know, like merchandise collecting? He said, I've gotten everything I've got. Now I just buy teddy bears and pogs.
He does buy teddy bears and pogs.
And I said, Alf pogs?
Why, you got Alf pogs?
No.
But I had that tube. Do you remember that tube with WWF Pogs that they sold?
I just remember tubes of Pogs. It was something that my brother was into.
Yeah, I got into Pogs because everyone else was into fucking Pogs. That was the dumbest
My brother's your age, so he was into the Pogs, you know, I guess around the same time that you were.
I still have one out of that whole tube. It's a WrestleMania 10 Pog, which is the WrestleMania 10 logo on the Pog. I still have it.
Such a little fucking sheep. I got into Pogs. I got into fucking Magic the Gathering because everybody else was into it.
That was I tried. It was too complicated for me.
No, I had no fucking idea what I was doing.
My brother
no idea.
Loved it.
Which girlfriend got you into that?
No girls. I didn't have girls. Really? When I was in like seventh grade.
Magic the Gathering players have girlfriends.
Have you ever seen a picture of me in seventh grade?
No,
I look like a fucking bowling pin with ears.
Oh, yes. I do remember. Okay. Yeah.
And I never combed my hair. I was always a mess.
Thanks for bringing that back into my mind.
Hey, no problem. Happy New Year.
I found a picture of myself from 15 years ago holding my goddaughter. Jesus Christ, there were five of me.
Yeah, what an experiment. Big boy.
Fucking gross. I was wearing a... Here's Sheeple. I was wearing a Viva La Bam shirt. Wow. I think I had to be a triple XL. It was big. Oof.
Oofa.
Yes, indeed.
Cool.
That's all I got.
All right.
Christmas was merry. I wasn't sick this year, so I actually got to go out and have some dinner and go visiting people.
You went out and had dinner?
Yeah.
Like at a restaurant?
Oh, yeah.
You know Christmas?
You know Sear over by Willowbrook Mall? By Hooters? It's maybe it's Little Ferry. It's like Little Falls. It's like right over the river. Okay. You go down 23.
And through the woods?
Yeah.
What is it? What's it called?
Sear. Char.
Sear. Like a seared steak because it's a steakhouse.
Okay. Yeah.
It was good times.
You went there for Christmas?
Yeah, fucking awful. My dad and his girlfriend came out. My brother and his kids came out.
You made fucking people work on Christmas, you piece of dog shit.
Listen, number one, go fuck yourself. Number two, if people want to work on Christmas to earn a fucking living, that's their right and prerogative. Not for some slob like you to go, what are you fucking making people work on Christmas?
Yeah, wasn't it exactly this time last year that you were yelling at people for complaining about WWE running on Christmas?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, okay.
Was it last year?
Maybe it was two one years of the. Ago. Whenever it was, you were yelling at people for. Everyone works on Christmas. Everyone works on Christmas.
Tony's a piece of shit. So.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's neither here nor there.
Christmas and Thanksgiving were like the biggest days of running wrestling
yes.
for the longest time.
I agree.
Okay. So what's wrong with that?
I'm just picking on you.
The Thanksgiving night tradition.
Yeah.
Why do I pick on you? Because it's fun to pick on you. I don't get aggressive like Kevin does.
If you ever rented a Survivor Series, you're a hypocrite.
What exactly did I say? Because I don't remember. I never really yell at Tony.
Unless you definitely project some deep down anger.
There's
at Tony.
No deep down anger.
Yeah, a little bit.
And I've had a few maker's marks today, so I you know that.
Oh fuck me!
What's the occasion?
He's coming to my house. He's got to be belligerent.
Right. No, he was good. Towards the end of the show, when he started getting sleepy, he was all looking right. to. If you could have jumped. Past Jay, you would have clawed Tony's eyes out.
Tony, like where's the belt?
Where's the belt?
Was it because you guys were talking over my opening of presents?
No, it was the fact
entire,
that you...
Going over the European fucking
the presents that you completely forgot were next to you?
Exactly.
No,
4 minutes
bag.
After we finished opening presents, Kevin's like, oh, I've got presents here.
All right. You guys are out of order.
If you have not listened to the Christmas episode last week, it is a long one, but goddamn, we had a fucking good time.
It was a blast.
It was such a good time.
And that might be the best one ever.
Props, though, to those guys for going out of their way to go to Hackensack to hook us up with some white manna. That's a fucking ace move, dude.
Listen,
I love
listen
me some
to
white
you.
Manna.
Those what? Burgers are smaller than a fucking White Castle burger.
I know, you ate seven of them, you slob.
That's nothing, bro.
And you stole mine. You took food away from me.
There's a little more beef to those burgers, though. I will
Which
say
ones?
That. The White Manna burger.
Because it's like real beef, and they don't cut those like little steam holes out of them either. Yeah. It's like a fucking meatball.
It's
and
not
just
like a square.
Yep.
Bro, seven beef. Of those is nothing.
It is when one of them was mine.
I ate half of yours. All
right? That's right.
It's still not a lot. The White Castle Super Bowl Challenge, I ate fucking 23 White Castles.
Well, you're a fucking animal, that's why.
The sad thing is, though, that's not even a lot.
What, are we going to do a fucking White Castle challenge?
No,
I can't do it.
Past those days.
Can you guys guess the one thing that pissed me off, really, aside from Kevin getting angry in that entire episode? The one thing that pissed me off, really pissed me off? The fact that fucking Talon Feet and fucking Slobble over here got 3 pieces of chocolate and not one fucking spicy one. That shit stuck in my craw. That really pissed me off. I wanted to see one person fucking lose their shit, and it didn't happen. That got me upset.
you take umbrage with people's fortune?
Yeah. I got six more in the fridge if you want to take a shot.
I saw it
all for you.
Nope. It's 3-3. You got a 50-50 shot.
Don't fucking look at me. I did five fucking eight chocolate last week. I ate spoiled milk. It was
spoiled milk.
Yeah, the fucking Bean Boozle.
Oh, that shit. Yeah.
I did it all last week.
So
I
how long
like
does
fucking
that
king.
The taste actually last?
For what?
For the bean.
The bean
not
is
too
nothing.
Bad. You know which one was really gross? The boogers.
I spit boogers out the spoiled milk because it was gross.
Boogers was fucking disgusting.
Not as gross as the blueberry seltzer I drank.
Oh, that, yeah, you were fucking
I did not like
sick.
That. I don't like blueberry.
I think there's still another one in
That's
there.
Why I brought some raspberry White Claws.
That's right. Blueberry. Shout out to White Claws and Twisted Tees. Hopefully
that's it.
Sponsors.
Sponsors.
Maybe they'll send us some fucking koozies and keychains.
The Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
Yeah, then you can hang out with Lars Sullivan when you're drinking them.
All right. I like this.
I was waiting to see how long it was going to take for this to come
It's
up.
Very ironic that he at one. Here's what I learned this weekend.
Okay,
right?
Here we
Very
go.
Very treacherous waters.
Everybody pull up and get under the learning
no,
tree.
No, no, no. I watched a documentary on Netflix called Don't Fuck With Cats.
Oh, fuck cats.
And what happened was a couple years ago, this kid made a video where he took two kittens and he put them in a vacuum seal bag and he killed them.
That's awful.
Just by putting them in the bag, or did he suck
them
up?
No, he sucked all the air out of it.
Oh, my. And he filmed it, of course.
Yes.
Fucking. Oh, that, they're like, oh, I know where you're going. Go ahead.
All right. So this group of people started a Facebook group to find out who this kid was.
Oh, yeah. Voxing. Early voxing. What year was this?
2012 and 13.
Oh, then that's pretty recent. All they got to do is put that shit on 4chan. They figure that shit out in like 5 minutes.
They tracked this kid down, and it ended up he was a serial killer. And they helped catch him.
That's how they start, the serial killers.
Ooh.
They start with the animals.
He made like three videos, and then he made a video of him killing some. It was like, and these people, it wasn't like it was like 1,000 people. It was like, it started out as like a really big group, and then it kind of, he like, they kind of found out who they had an idea of who was making the videos, and then it stopped, the video stopped, and he resurfaced like a year later, and it caught the attention of like some pit bulls and parolee guy. And then the group was flooded with people full of misinformation, and the group kind of disbanded, and it got back together again with more people who were serious. But there were, like...
Misinformation about what? Like that he wasn't really doing it?
No, or? Like, there were all these leads. You know how people get with leads, like, oh, it looks like so-and-so, it looks like
oh,
this
so
person.
Oh, so they might have been going after the wrong people.
Right.
That's
they,
dangerous.
Well, they ended up going after a wrong person, and the kid killed himself.
Whoops.
That's fucking... No, whoops. That's awful.
It's
yeah,
a crazy,
that's why I went whoops.
Crazy documentary. So then the group reconvened smaller, and the amount of time that these people put into this shit, like, going through, like, his, like... They find out who the kid is, but they don't have any evidence, so they have to track him, and they have to, like... They watch, like, every time he puts, like, a slideshow out, and if there's a new picture, they track down, like... Where the picture was, it's insane.
Like,
and these
put
people
it, like,
have, like
in Google Earth or
yeah,
Google Maps and shit
yeah,
like that.
And these people have fucking 9 to 5. It was insane. So you piss off the wrong group, like Lars Sullivan may have did when all that stuff resurfaced about him saying racist and homophobic stuff. If you get a couple people who know what they're fucking doing, they will.
They'll find you.
They will find you, and they will fucking destroy you.
Yeah, but. Does, all right.
I don't know if it necessarily
destroys
him
for doing something to make money. It just makes him look very hypocritical.
Hypocritical, yes. It's definitely something that we've seen from wrestlers.
Yeah.
In the past, maybe not in the homosexual manner,
but the occasional, if that's your thing, kind of thing.
Like it's just what the irony is because he went and he said all this stuff.
Maybe he did that. Because he was trying to pinball or, you know, bat away
yeah,
stuff
but,
that he's been going through.
Yeah, but had he never said anything like what he said on the forums, wherever he posted it, nobody would have fucking thought twice
yeah,
about
looking
this
shit up. Yeah, but you got to remember, this was, again, I'm not excusing it whatsoever, but he wasn't a celebrity then. So, like, this, in his mind's eye, he was probably doing it just in case someone saw it. And then, like, now all of a sudden, like, people will go out of their way to find out what you did and what you tweeted and what you said at one point. So maybe at the time he was doing it just to, you know, how do I say this? Divert the attention from what he's been doing by saying this so that people would think that there's no chance that he did this. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you divert the attention somewhere else.
Yeah, but saying what he said was not necessarily.
I know it was bad. I don't remember what he said though. And it was on like bodybuilding websites, right? So yeah. He actually must have been still quasi prolific, not prolific, but notable in that community.
And he's got like mental issues too, isn't he? Like not wrestling now because he had a nervous breakdown about something.
Well,
wouldn't
I
thought he got hurt too.
Yeah, I think he has
had a nervous breakdown.
That was the first time.
The first
he was
one, and then when he came back to TV, then he got hurt.
Yeah,
but I feel like first of all, I want to know who found it.
Why you want to shake their hand?
I want to know if it's like a wrestling fan who was just like, you know,
perusing.
Look, we've all been there. We all go down that dark hole of internet porn where you're just looking for that perfect moment where you could shoot your load, and then 6 hours later, you're fucking sore and you haven't found it, and now you're just looking at shit that you're like,
six hours later.
Yeah, the fucking glow of the computer box is on your face. Your chair is warm. You don't know what the fuck's going on, and you're looking at some weird fucking shit.
Well, it was the good people on 4chan, and from what I remember when
the story... The good people of 4chan.
Yeah, you see, and when you go to any link for Lars Sullivan on 4chan, like, they're all gone. Like, oh, here, we got one here? No, it's nothing. It just says Lars Sullivan. It says, yeah, what yep. about him?
But if you just...
Wait, what is randyblue.com?
Wait, has it even been confirmed that that's him?
Okay, here we go. Him. This is the title. It's Mitch Bennett gets his first beej from gay porn star Derek Diamond. That's a hell of a way to break into the business.
Mitch Bennett, baby.
There we go.
What, are you a big fan of Derek Diamond? Do you know who Derek Diamond is? Not that there's anything wrong with that.
What do you think? You think I'm going to get a virus by clicking this thing?
We're about to find out, aren't we?
Well, you got a new computer.
Yeah. And you see, Kev, with the new computer, I'd be able to play the audio right through the...
We don't
there
need
you
to
go.
Play
that
the
is
audio.
That's a winner.
Are you guys actually watching that right now?
Well, it's a freeze frame.
That is 100% Lars Sullivan.
He even looks fucking stupid like he does.
So glad I'm on this side of the room.
Kev, come here. Take a look
nope.
at this.
Nope.
We should have put it on the monitors.
Wait, this was added 11/29/2016. Well, there you go. No comments. Oh, what is this?
Oh, see, speaking of,
I don't know, man,
hole,
but don't fucking.
Yeah, let's not turn this into a
all
different
right, now
podcast.
You're going
Well, it's like you said, you're in pain for 6 hours. And you...
Yeah, hours.
Hey, all right, fair enough. Yeah.
It only took us 22 minutes.
Six yeah. hours.
I feel like that's
Kev,
something.
My life has just changed now from seeing this.
I feel like that's something.
Good luck with that.
We've so heard like Bruce Prichard on his podcast talk about like when he hires these people and he's like, is there anything we need to know about? I feel like that's something where he's like, look, when I was like in my 20s, I did, I made homosexual porn videos and that paid for my Chevy.
Well, that really shouldn't matter unless you're against porn videos.
What do you think Vince said?
Let's do an angle where Lars Sullivan sucks off Braun Strowman. We could call it the Battle of the Redwoods with their big, throbbing, veiny cocks. And you get Bobby Lashley in there, and he is big, throbbing eggplant. It'll be the greatest, greatest video you'll ever see.
Speaking of Lashley, he's marrying Lana tonight on Raw.
I don't have the I don't care soundbite, but I don't fucking care.
Why, dude? It's another one in a long list of like marital bliss.
I'll give them credit.
I don't care.
Go ahead.
For actually
sticking
running
with
this for like the last
8 years,
4 months.
I think Kevin's closer to right.
However long this fucking. Again, I have no idea what's going on in WWE. I do know. I think they're saying at house shows, Roman Reigns and King Corbin are having matches where the loser has to eat dog food.
I think that's coming up. But I think that's going to on the next loop-ski, I think.
Is that a Royal Rumble stipulation?
Oh, we should pick the Royal Rumble for this year.
No, we started at the Royal Rumble. We started at NXT TakeOver.
Oh, we'll pick it. We'll pick it for next year.
Yeah, though. For the next one. Someone has to defend their title. Me, presumably.
Are we going to do show versus show, or are we decided
fuck,
not to do that?
No, we're doing show versus yo.
They.
Oh, fucking boo, Kevin. Holy shit.
That's right.
If the Turnbuckle Throwbacks really want that to happen, they have to extend the Olive Branch. I'm not doing the fucking all the work for that.
Yeah.
That's a long fucking clip, bro.
I don't think it's ever gone this far.
I don't
is
think
this
so
is,
either.
This the I don't care.
Yeah.
Drop still.
And it just cuts off.
Kevin Meaney,
like,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It would go longer than that, but it cuts at 1:05 for some reason. That's fucking awesome.
That was the longest 1:05 ever.
So this was a light week for wrestling.
Yeah, it's a tough. This is the hard week to watch for wrestling.
It's so hard.
I'm okay with it. I kind of need to break from playing catch up. To be perfectly honest with you.
So we didn't watch anything.
MLW had a best of. I watched like 10 minutes of it. I'm like, I've seen this all already. Right. And like,
NWA Power aired last Monday while we did the show, so I caught up on that.
What'd you think of that show?
I liked it.
Yeah. Was that where they had the 6-woman match?
Yes.
Yeah. So they decided that who was it? Marty Bell won? Who won?
It was Melina, Thunder Rosa, and Marty Bell beat.
Yeah, but who got their choice? It was Thunder Rosa. And Melina said that she wants to wrestle ODB, which is a weird choice. Why do you think they went that way? What's the significance of going after ODB and not going after the championship?
Was the championship an option?
You could pick who you want to wrestle on the other team. I would imagine you'd want to take on Allison Kay, no?
Unless someone else already has a shot and that wasn't... I don't know. I didn't watch it.
There's
so
not
I
a whole lot of women in the, in
Look,
the NWA.
Look, Thunder Rosa won, so she got to pick who she was going to fight. But Melina cut her off and said ODB, assuming that Melina wants to go after the title, knowing that Thunder Rosa poses more of a threat to bring gold back to the stable.
Is Melina really wrestling? She hasn't really done shit.
She's like the leader of the group, right?
But it looks like they're protecting her.
If there is such a thing.
Yeah, she's the leader of the group. Well, she's...
And why does Thunder Rosa need a leader? She should be the leader.
Well, I think that's the direction we're going to go.
And then they gave Marty Bell some shit last week where they were like, where were you? And they're like, she's like, you told me to stay back here. And then that kind of just went away.
Well, I mean, you saw it progress this week after where Melina bossed both of them around.
Yeah. And on top of that, remember my prediction for the finals of the TV tournament?
Nope.
We're getting that in round one, Tim Storm versus Nick Aldis.
Yeah, so your predictions suck.
No, Tim Storm's going to win, and it's going to be fucking awesome.
You think so?
Well, it could go one of two ways. Tim Storm wins and keeps going, and they fuck him later on, and then he winds up wrestling Aldis anyway, and somehow they finagle the title match into it. Or Aldis beats Storm, and then Storm fucks Aldis at the end of the title tournament, and then Aldis says, you know what, old man, let's go. And then he puts the title on the line to goad him in.
I think there's too much stacked against Tim Storm, especially with what's in Nick Aldis' camp with Camille and Royce, Isaacs, and Thomas Lattimore. It seems like Tim Storm doesn't have anyone in his corner.
Oh, he'll have some people.
I just want to say that I totally appreciate NWA's commitment to keeping Tim Storm relevant on their show.
Tim Storm
Didn't see this. I thought once NWA got really big and this, I didn't think he would be.
Yeah, but you would have known it from years ago. He was the entire focus of the 10 pounds of gold for like the longest time.
Of course. But then, you know, you have, it's on All In. It's on, you know, there's this weird little relationship with them and Ring of Honor. Now there's not. And I really thought Tim Storm, and this is no disrespect to Tim Storm, great fucking dude. I have all the respect in the world for Ryback, his brother. But I did not see him being relevant, and now he's right in the mix still for all the stuff that they're doing.
I think,
and storylines and everything, referee stuff and all that stuff.
And what I love is I think Billy Corgan not necessarily has a soft spot, but realizes what a good talent Tim Storm is, and that's why he keeps him in that big. And he's believable. He comes out wearing a suit and tie. He's just as believable as a champion as Nick Aldis is.
You're right.
I think it has something to do with the fact that Nick beat Tim for that title, which really kind of sparked the interest in the NWA.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then, of course, you had that run with Cody, right?
Yep.
And which helped, obviously, clearly. And I think it gave us a very solid foundation for NWA. And I think they're still doing great. It's like, I didn't watch last week, but it's my favorite
wrestling
show.
I love it. And so many people are still like, oh, Jim Cornette's not there. They don't get views anymore. Nobody cares. Stu Bennett is fucking amazing. He probably puts 99% of commentary for WWE to shame at this point. Amazing.
I mean, that doesn't take much with all due respect.
I understand, but Stu Bennett just popped in and we had no idea what he was going to be like. And the next thing you know, he's fucking ruling the roost. It's awesome.
He's like, he reminds me of like when Matt Stryker first started. Like, Matt Stryker was really, really good when he first started.
But he's knowledgeable, but he's not
over like beating you over the head with his
with knowledge. Yes, yeah. He explains things. He's not necessarily like I'm this happened on this date.
Yeah, and I'm smarter than you because you know this and that. I agree, Tony, 100%.
And he had a great interview with Marty Scurll.
Yeah,
it was great hearing them. What'd you think of the whole drunk Eli Drake thing singing with Santa Claus?
I thought it was hysterical.
I loved it. People hated it. They were like, this is a fucking waste
of
time.
Dude, he is a... I think we said it when he was in Impact. He's a fucking superstar. Just,
yeah, Eli Drake.
He can talk. He can work. He's over as fuck right now.
I don't
now.
Know how he didn't get swept. Well, all right. Did we... We thought the same thing like about EC3, right? When he was in TNA?
Right.
Can we agree that Tony? Did you think EC3 was
yes
equal like equal worse or better than Eli Drake?
I think Eli Drake is better than EC3,
which is fair, which is totally fine. But the plane is like kind of like right there, right?
Oh, yeah, but I mean, you saw like no doubt EC3 was a huge star in Impact, and he presented himself as a star. He carried himself like a star. What they fucking did to him in E is like I don't know if it just wasn't a good fit for him. But
I'm sorry, where?
WWE.
Oh, okay.
Come on, corporate Kevin. You know the lingo.
Yeah, well, we don't like that over here in the office. We don't like when people call it that.
Sorry.
What are you going to do?
I didn't know. I don't want to piss Kevin off. I'm sorry.
Fair so, like, enough. If Eli Drake went to WWE, to, you know, to my backyard.
Right.
Your company.
What do you think?
I really, as weird as it sounds, 3 months not watching every week. Like, I don't know.
You happier that he didn't go? As a fan.
You think they would shoehorn him into like some 205 shit?
I don't know where. Like,
no. Look, that's why I'm kind of making that weird little leap to EC3, where EC3 was amazing in NXT. Now, do you think that he would be amazing in NXT and terrible? Or not terrible, but like,
I think he would be better used in NXT.
EC3 needed his Aunt Dixie to come in. That's what he fucking needed.
He needed something.
I say that 1,000 times. Had Dixie Carter been brought in just to be like his mouthpiece or his aunt or whatever.
That would have been a great... I think EC3 would have been a great main roster act no matter what. But I think that... I agree with you.
That would have put him over the top.
And I get that everyone can't be pushed to the moon, but you got to have something better for somebody. Kid looks like $1 million, EC3. Can't be chasing around the fucking 24/7 championship, which they miraculously retired and unretired over the weekend.
Wait, did you see that? What was this?
This is got to be some weird
clip. Someone goofed on the website, and they said that the title was retired.
Like you know, in their sections of championships, they have, like, retired championships.
Oh, that's all it was?
Yeah, that's all it was.
Like, when they put Alberto Del Rio was going to be a big deal a couple years ago?
Right.
Or, like, when they accidentally moved someone to the alumni section when they're still actually there. Like, it was kind of... That's what I measured up to
when they put up that Triple H passed away and he really didn't.
Did they do that?
No, it was a wish. Sorry.
Wow, that's pretty... What's your beef with the...
Oh, my God!
With Kevin's boss there.
Bro!
I didn't mean to disrespect Paul. Sorry, Mr. Levesque.
Don't call him that.
Damn.
Don't you dare fucking call him that. See, this is where you needle him. Yeah, see, now I'm guessing what happened last week.
Oh, it's all my fault.
I'm not saying it's your fault. Just don't needle him with stuff like this. Because Kevin is good. Kevin will take it. He'll take the beating.
Yeah, but don't you dare.
But it'll boil underneath him.
Don't
and
you
then
dare disrespect my boss.
What did you think of the apology of Ricky Morton?
But for showing Matt his balls?
When he apologized to Nick Aldis.
I think it was bullshit.
You think he was kind of... But, like, he should have stood up to him, no? No?
I think he should have, but...
Okay, next question.
Uh-oh.
What did you think of the Pope making his debut?
I'm all about the Pope.
Oh, you didn't know this.
I did not know this.
Kevin said he didn't watch. The Pope made his... Pope's going to create his own stable. I love it.
Dude, I'm a big Pope guy.
Is he going to call him like the clergy? Like, is that his thing?
I don't care. It's just, it's so subtle
so
the way they do
jokes
things.
You can make.
It's
Ricky
just.
Ricky Starks is going to be the altar boy. Just right. Saying.
So, it's so simple. They're interviewing two guys, and the Pope just walks out. And he says his piece, and he walks away.
Who was trying to get his attention as he was walking away?
Eddie Kingston or Ricky Starks?
Was it Ricky Starks? Maybe it was Eddie Kingston. I thought they had a little this and that, and then he walked away from Eddie.
I thought they did, too. Let me see what I can find here.
Dude, the fucking most action-packed, storyline-advancing, so-much-happens hour of wrestling.
He interrupted the Ziggy Dice and the Trevor Murdoch thing.
Trevor Murdoch got a contract.
We have to talk to NWA about the Ziggy thing. Might be a copyright.
Ziggy Dice?
Zicky or Ziggy?
Zicky, Z-I-C-K-Y. All right.
We'll allow it.
And then the Pope and Dicky, Zicky.
Zicky and Dicky?
Ziggy, isn't it Ziggy?
It's Zicky, Z-I-C-K-Y. Zicky, oh, Zicky.
You ain't got no alibi. You're
it's
Zicky.
Not Ziggy. It's not Scoggville.
Scoggville.
Horn Scoggville?
Yes.
Ricky Starks beat Eddie Kingston to advance into the NWA television title tournament. James Storm beat Royce Isaacs, who has a new valet with him.
Oh, yeah.
Mae Valentine.
I was looking up shit on her. I couldn't find anything.
I know nothing about her. She has a funny accent.
Yeah. She was wearing like a pleather like kind of dom outfit.
No? Right.
Mae Valentine?
Yes.
And then we talked about the women's stuff. We talked about that stuff. The names were drawn. They brought out... who did the drawing?
Oh, fuck. Oh.
It doesn't have it here in my review.
It was a woman, wasn't it?
Yeah. I don't know what her
relation was. They announced that she was from some law firm. She was just like some nobody. It wasn't like they brought back Nikita for the drawings.
Right. And then the question mark.
Question mark.
He beat Colt Cabana.
Beat Colt Cabana in the first round of the tournament. How great is that?
Wow. Fantastic. And then the promo after the match backstage with Aaron Stevens and the question mark saying they're going after all the belts.
Yep.
Are we still on the train that question mark is?
Don't do it. You're going to upset Tony.
No. Really? Look, I know I pissed you off, but you're really fucking going into uncharted waters here by mentioning that.
Why?
Because there's no fucking way in hell that scumbag Josephus, which I fucking hate more than life itself, is the greatest gift to wrestling named the question mark. It's no way. Him. No way, no chance, no how.
It's definitely him, right?
Really? Is he going to do this?
No, I didn't.
He's going to keep poking the
bear?
Listen,
you know my memory sucks. Look, I totally didn't realize that you were so fucking pissed about
this. If you guys want to keep running to in each other's yards, running into each other's yards and kicking each other's bees nests, go crazy. I want no part of this.
You struggled a little bit, but you got there.
I did.
Props
I did.
For that.
Sometimes my brain moves faster than my mouth.
No, the other way around.
Yeah. Strike that, reverse it.
My mouth moves faster than my brain.
Perfect example.
Yeah. I'm a little retarded. That happens.
A little bit. A little bit.
Goofy. Let's say Goofy.
Goofy, like the character?
That's right. Goofy.
All right. I like that.
Maybe that's a stable. Maybe that's the Pope's stable. The Goof Troop.
Fuck, that was loud.
It was loud.
Well, hopefully next week we don't have any of these problems.
NXT was all tape stuff.
Yeah.
Nothing bad. Just weird how they went back and forth. From
I focused a lot on New Japan.
I
did not, and I'm not saying we have to go there now, but I took a week off from wrestling other than watching, like, network.
Right. Well, there wasn't a lot to really watch. AEW Dark was on. Joey Janela wrestled.
Yeah. And there was no Dynamite
Sean
on.
Sean Spears, no. Because Christmas was on a Wednesday.
Yeah, but how do you not put something on?
Because the Christmas story is on both channels all day.
Not at 8 o'clock. It ends Christmas night at 8. It goes Christmas Eve, 8 to 8. And then it was a movie or something.
Mm-hmm. They aired fucking Dynamite commercials all throughout it, though.
That's good.
Can I say one thing about AEW?
Only one? Okay.
Only one, I promise.
All right.
I watched the most recent Botchamania, which came out a couple days ago.
Oh, I know exactly where you're going.
God.
The Dark Order punches?
No.
Oh.
I didn't even get that far yet.
Okay.
My God, JR was all over himself, and he's just like zero fucks given. He's like, all right, make sure you bring that up. All right, you're going to talk about this? He couldn't fucking remember the Butcher and the Blade. And then he finally, I guess I know who the Blade is now. It just says Blade right on his ass. And he goes, I'm sorry, TNT, for saying that. Just fucking miserable.
He doesn't have to apologize because they say shit on the air.
But he fucks up, and it's hilarious because he's just like, I fucked up, whatever. And he just fucking shits on it and on himself and on everything, and he keeps going.
Well, let's stay in the AEW ballpark.
Please do.
All right, they gave us a gift for Christmas. They are coming to New Jersey.
Yes.
Oh, baby.
On March 25th. Tickets go on sale January 24th. So I will be there. I don't know about you two schmucks, but if you want in, I'm buying a bunch of tickets. So
I'll go. I should go.
Okay.
How about you?
I don't know.
It's a Wednesday.
That's the problem.
I'm going.
Every day is a
fucking
problem.
If you buy a bunch of tickets, I'm going.
All right. So they gave us that on Christmas. Then Tony, this might get you upset too.
Yes. What?
2020? Okay. Clean the slate of the ratings.
Yeah. No, good you brought this up. I forgot about it. What do you think? I don't think I'm so crazy about that.
I'm not 100% against it, but I'm not 100% for it because I don't think we've gotten enough. We've only gotten 3 months worth of TV.
Why wouldn't they do this like September to September? You know what I'm saying? Since they started September?
I think in my gut is that they realize what they're doing isn't really working in terms of like the rankings. So maybe if this is like a fresh start and we're going to adjust how it works, then I'll be okay with it. There's no way after this little, you know, window of time that they could redo it and do it the exact same way. There's got to be something else there that they're just trying to rework it. And like, hey, listen, we tried this. Maybe it didn't work out the way we wanted to. There's a lot of people questioning why so-and-so is here and so is there. Let's start over and figure out a better way to do it. If that's the case, I'm okay with it.
But it also gets me, like, I don't want to bring her up, but you take somebody like Nyla Rose, who's been suspended.
I wouldn't try to bring her up.
Who's been losing by disqualifications, who's got a shit record. Now, all of a sudden, she could win one match and be at the top of the heap.
She doesn't have a shit record.
She kind of does. Past couple of weeks?
She's 500. She's 3-3.
Who? All right.
Statlander's number one right now, baby.
And that's going to go away in a week.
But if she gets her match first.
She does. She's getting her match. I think they're wiping the slate clean. But they're not letting these rankings at the end of the year go to waste.
Yeah, they're not deviating from their plan, which I respect. But I think they're just trying to rework it.
I love it. I think
so. With everybody at zero,
I love the rankings.
So everybody's at 0-0, right?
Okay. Not yet.
Where's Kenny Omega in the top five? Is he in the top five?
Number two.
Oh, fuck! All right. Who's number five?
We like to play these
games. MJF.
Okay, MJF. So everybody gets a clean slate.
Right.
Say the first week, everybody else in the top five loses except for MJF. He's automatically number one?
No, they take into the account. The strength of the opponent. So if he beats Brandon Cutler, it's a win, but it's not like when fucking Duke beats fucking
North Carolina. We're talking about basketball.
Yeah, but I'm thinking like Duke beats like
Fordham.
Yeah, Fordham. Fair. Like, and they're the number three ranked team. That doesn't propel them to one. They beat a fucking team they were supposed to beat.
Well, MJF beat somebody he was supposed to beat and everybody else fucking lost.
But then that's like,
yeah, but that doesn't. He beat a
who's ahead of MJF?
Cody Rhodes is at
Cody four. Rhodes loses. Who's right. next?
Pac
loses. Who's next?
Kenny Omega.
Kenny Omega loses. Who's next?
Moxley.
Moxley loses. All those guys lose.
Right.
Say they lose to the Dark Order. They had a big 8-on-8 match or whatever, and they all fucking lost.
Okay.
So if MJF beats beats Stu Nod and his cousin Mary, then he becomes number one.
No,
because
it's not a singles match.
All right, so say they all individually lose to members of the Dark Order.
I don't think they would book it like that, though.
So say Johnny Silver beats Kenny Omega.
But why would you
say
book it like that?
Say fucking Fat Uno 1 loses to Pac, or like beats Pac.
All right, first, stop. Please, stop. Stop, because you're not making any sense.
You're not making sense. See, I'm starting to side with Kevin on this.
They're not going to book it so they make themselves look dumber than some people already think they look.
That was a great way to phrase it, because they already look pretty dumb.
Right? Some people, like Kevin's not a fan of the rankings. So why would they book it so like all these guys lose and MJF wins and then he's the new number one contender now? Because like, why
MJF,
would you fucking do that?
Because he's MJF and he's an asshole and he could talk his way into that situation. That's how.
And going back to like your college thing, like if, you know, like if Duke, which we'll say is MJF, beats Brandon Cutler, which we'll say is Fordham. Why would I ever want to watch Brandon Cutler wrestle again? It just makes no sense.
I don't know. Why do people watch fucking St. John's play basketball?
Yeah, no offense.
Because they went there.
Seton Hall's been getting the shit kicked out of him how many times over the past couple of years, and I still got friends that go to every fucking game.
What are you talking about? They've been in the tournament every year for the last five years.
They don't get far. Like, why would you watch the Jets? You know they were out of the playoffs yesterday.
And they usually wind up in the NIT anyway, and who really gives a fuck about the NIT?
For them. Because seven wins is three more wins than they got last year.
Right.
So you
but, I mean, you're still going to watch. It's wrestling.
Yeah, but it's weird. Like we've had this conversation. I feel like we've had this argument before. These are characters. These are people that you have to invest in. Like, it's not like sports where, yeah, you still invest because you pay to go see them. But like, God, we've had the argument. I'm sure we've all made the same point or different points.
I think it helps build their characters and it helps throwaway matches feel like there's more at stake.
Now, like, again, if that's his role, if we're accepting Brandon Cutler's role as being Brandon Cutler or a QT Marshall or a Johnny Silver or an Alex Reynolds, if that's their role and we accept that, that's fine. Then don't have the rank. Like, don't have the rankings. Like, I throw this example out every week because, you know, I'm a mark. Hawkins and Ryder, I know they're not winning probably 70% of their matches.
But they won the tag belts
when they
do, don't they?
But see, if Brandon Cutler wins a match, like, that doesn't.
What if he beats
Depends
Kenny
on who
Omega?
He beats. It's like when 1-2-3 Kid beat Razor.
So if Brandon Cutler beats Kenny Omega and he's 0-269 like Hawkins, and he and he wins one match against Kenny Omega,
title match,
that gets him a.
Yep.
WWE,
I can accept that.
I can't answer the questions because I don't work for AEW. I'm sure it would bump him up, but I don't think it would put him in the top five.
Well, in fairness, WWE normally has those like number one contenders matches like every other week anyway, so. That's why they don't need rankings.
Six-pack challenge.
There you go.
All right, so you guessed the men's division. You want to talk about the women's division?
What do you mean, I guess?
The rankings for the end of the year.
Well, I didn't really guess them. I mean,
yeah,
you
we
told
went through
me
them.
All.
This is your favorite part of the show.
That's well, right. Who's the women's champion?
Ryu.
I know, Ryu. I had to think of her name.
All right.
Ryu. So, Ryu. Kristen Statlander's number one?
She is.
That's
is
right.
She,
what's her record?
She's 3-0.
Good for her.
As singles, she's 3-2.
Overall.
Which
yeah, so her tag team Freddie Mercury suck. A couple times, right?
The tag team partner, yes.
Yeah. Oh, Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, Emi Sakura.
That's Pukey.
She's number five.
Oh, fucking fountain face.
She's number five.
She's number five. Nyla Snacks is up there somewhere, right?
She's number four.
There you go. Is Britt Baker number two?
She is.
Oh, God, so who's number three?
Hikaru Shida?
All right, that makes sense.
She was the one that Statlander beat when she was number one.
But Pukey's still in the top five.
Pukey's
no?
still in the top five. And on the New Year's Day edition, there's going to be a four-way match.
Oh, fucking A. I can't wait.
And the only reason why this was changed is because Statlander is booked for bar wrestling.
Right. So Ryu will defend in a four-way match against Nyla Rose, Britt Baker, and Hikaru Shida. And Statlander will face the winner the week after. So she's getting her title shot. Yeah. Who holds the championship is a different story, my friend.
Tony, who do you think it's going to be?
It's going to be Ryu. Whoa!
That's what
and then your tag team division. Give it to me, baby.
The Bucky Boys.
They're number two.
LAX, Proud and Powerful.
Number one.
Best Friends.
Yeah, Best Friends are up
number
there.
Number four.
Butcher and the Blade.
Nope.
They've been winning.
They're
what
not on the list?
Fuck. Did they beat Cody and Darby?
Oh, Dark Order.
Dark Order is number five.
Are you kidding me?
3-2.
So it's gotta be then the Lucha Brothers.
Yes, number three.
How is the Dark Order in the top five?
Because the only other tag team on the roster
they have
is
a 3-2
Jack
record.
Evans and Chuck.
Incorrect.
Who? And the Best Friends.
Who?
And Private Party.
Who
and
is
Private,
the,
ooh,
who,
yeah, that's right. There's a lot of tag teams.
Who's actually. The Dark Order beating? Who have they beaten?
Dude, they're getting put. Like, you know what's funny? Alex Reynolds and Johnny Silver are now in the Dark Order.
So it could be any one of the any two of the four?
No, I don't know how that works. I don't think
that's
so.
That's fucking
I don't
weird.
Think it's Freebird's rule yet with Dark
Fuck.
Order.
Speaking of Freebird, somebody called Jericho Michael Hayes, and I couldn't stop fucking laughing.
Oh, because he wears the hat?
Doot, doot, doot.
Yeah, it was that's pretty good. When Jericho's like all disheveled and he still has the hat on, and he has like the jacket, the glitter jacket, it's Michael Hayes-esque.
So, is there any correlation with Taz quitting his radio show and working AEW?
That was the million-dollar question I posed a couple of weeks ago. Have we heard anything
on that?
He's
doing the AEW Dark.
No,
New
Dynamite.
Oh, yes, sorry. You're right. Dynamite.
He's doing Dynamite?
Yeah.
Who's he taking the place of?
Shivani.
Shivani's quitting? Oh,
no,
Shivani's got basketball
calling,
shit, doesn't he?
Or the Georgia, the Bulldogs. Georgia Bulldogs game. The
there
Sugar
you go.
Bowl?
Yes.
Sugar.
Good for him.
So that's exciting. New Year's Day is pretty stacked on Dynamite.
Who we got?
Let's see. Let me make sure.
A lot of matches.
Just get the right one.
He mentioned the four-way for the women's match. He mentioned, it's definitely, isn't it?
It's Cody and Jericho. The Young Bucks against Pac and the Lucha Brothers.
Jericho's working somebody, right?
He responds to, Tommy. Or John Moxley responds
to Jericho.
To Jericho, because Jericho's in Japan. Cody Rhodes versus Darby Allin.
Cody Rhodes versus Darby Allin?
Yes.
Whoa!
And MJF lays out his stipulations for an upcoming match against Cody.
Is Waldo going to be in his corner?
Warlow, yes.
Warlow.
And Arn Anderson will be in Cody's corner. We'll talk about that.
Added Moxley versus Beretta.
Oh, great.
Which is weird because Moxley's got to fly to Japan right afterwards.
Well, New Year's Day is Wednesday.
Right.
And then, yeah. So he's got a couple days because it's the 4th and the 5th.
Right? Ooh, he's got to hurry. He's going to do New Year's Dash.
Yeah, that's a long flight.
Yeah.
Get it.
Yeah. What do you guys think about this Jericho Tanahashi thing?
Tanahashi's going to fucking kick his ass.
I think I know what you think about it.
He's getting a title match because Tanahashi is the greatest of ever in Japan.
Without dipping into our Wrestle Kingdom picks.
Doesn't matter. Tanahashi is the fucking man. Go Ace. Go Ace.
I think the inevitable is coming.
I love it. Some people are kind of against it.
Fuck them.
But,
fuck the haters.
If AEW can mend their fences with New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Wait, when were their fences ever not?
When Omega and the Bucks left. The beginning of this year.
They said those rumors weren't true, that if Kenny Omega came back to Japan that they were going to have him arrested.
Didn't he say he wanted to go back? Didn't he say he never really wanted to leave completely?
If you watched all of New Japan from the end of Wrestle Kingdom last year till now, this is the first time New Japan Pro Wrestling has acknowledged AEW.
Right. Wow.
So,
but it was Tanahashi doing it, not New Japan doing it, right?
Right, but Tanahashi works for New Japan Pro Wrestling.
All right.
So they're clearly working on something here.
But like Seth Rollins acknowledges like Will Ospreay or something like that, and there's no chance of that ever working together. So it's not like, is it WWE acknowledging it or is it Seth Rollins acknowledging it? Is it? I don't know how it works in New Japan. Maybe if New Japan retweeted it or something like that, maybe. But like, you know what I'm saying? Like, just because Tanahashi acknowledged it, does that mean New Japan acknowledged it?
I think so.
As opposed to Seth Rollins acknowledging it and not WWE acknowledging it?
Yes.
Okay.
I think...
Okay. I'll take your word for it, dude.
I think it's a calculated move by New Japan Pro Wrestling. They clearly knew that they're not on Axis this year. Their deal with Axis is done. So if you want to see New Japan Pro Wrestling, you have to watch it on New Japan World.
Wow.
But...
That's a big blow to them.
That's a, you know what, and that's a huge point that I didn't even realize, because obviously now why wouldn't you want to go on TNT, which is a completely bigger network,
right? So I clearly think New Japan knew this was coming.
Wow, I didn't know that New Japan was done on Access.
Yeah,
so this is maybe benefiting New Japan in a big way.
I think
anyway.
It's benefiting everybody.
It benefits, first of all, it benefits AEW a million times, I think. It benefits New Japan a million times. Dude, I think because AEW is already catering to that smart, air quote, smart audience.
That's exactly where I was thinking, though.
So if you bring New Japan over, who people already watching AEW already love New Japan?
That's the problem, though. People that watch AEW already love New Japan. Are they bringing in new people by bringing in New Japan?
No, I see.
That's a tough sell.
You may be bringing in Japanese people.
I think there's so many factors in this. You have to remember, New Japan's doing a United States tour.
Yeah.
So
they haven't really been tremendously successful doing a lot in the United States.
Look,
the Garden Show. What was it? G1?
Super Show,
that was
But they also did well with their three shows that they ran in September. All three of them sold out.
And where was that?
Hammerstein Ballroom.
All right.
Boston.
But what about Texas? Texas was a little light.
They're doing two shows in Texas, aren't they? Oh, they already did.
Well, he's talking about the G1.
Oh.
Yeah, the beginning of the G1. They were a little light in Texas.
Sure. I think if you bring New Japan to AEW, I think they go up. I think you see not a tremendous, I'm not saying they're going to get a million more people to watch, but I think they spike. I think they consistently do over a million viewers every week.
So if you look at the schedule, New Japan is in the States at the end of January, right before their New Beginning show, which takes place February 9th. So they're going to have guys in the States. It's the travel thing is always an issue. So if you've already, you already know you're coming to the States, why not set up a working agreement
where you're there like they used to? Like you,
and look, it's a, it goes, it's a, it's another thing. Like I picked Dragon Lee to beat Shane Taylor for two things. A, I thought Shane Taylor was done with the Ring of Honor. And B, Dragon Lee's wrestling Jushin Thunder Liger at night two of Wrestle Kingdom. And for him to show up with the fucking Ring of Honor TV title is a huge feather in Ring of Honor's cap.
Will he do that?
I don't see why he wouldn't.
I thought Ring of Honor and New Japan were kind of falling out.
Yeah, well,
it seems like Ring of Honor's had a falling out with everybody.
Pretty much.
Would New Japan even care? What, want that belt there? I honestly don't know. That's a
I don't think
question.
They would care. But if Dragon Lee came out with it, Kevin
yeah,
Kelly
the hardware
would,
is impressive.
Kevin Absolutely. Kelly would acknowledge it. They acknowledge every other title every other guy okay. comes out with.
Who knows if they acknowledge him on the Japanese commentary, but yeah, Kevin Kelly will bring
How it. How often... All right, so New Japan does a show on New Japan World what? How often? Like every week? Do they have a weekly show?
So they don't do a weekly show, but they do, like, they did three shows a week ago, which was the road to Wrestle Kingdom. Then after Wrestle Kingdom, there is Fantastic Mania, where it's all... It's like 12 straight shows with a lot of people from Mexico.
I got you.
Now, if they have English commentary, it's a different thing. Like, I watched a lot of the World Tag League. A lot of it did not have English commentary. But I think you can kind of... The stories they tell in the ring, or if you know the guys... But still, all the, they're adding more content with English commentary.
So, I think if you put New Japan... on Sorry. Television in the U.S. on a major network like TNT. Oh, boy, with AEW, I think you get the people, you get all that audience that just, maybe they don't like AEW. Maybe they're like some of the haters, but you get New Japan on there. Dude, you get, oh, my God. I think it'd be a big, I think it'd be huge. I think it'd be huge. Tony, you don't agree that if New Japan...
I just think that the AEW audience is a New Japan audience.
But there's got to be a couple hundred thousand people that are strictly New Japan that might not totally care about fucking, you know, I mean, Jack Swagger versus...
Sure, sure. It's possible. There probably are. I don't know if I'd put a number on it, but there probably
yeah,
are a lot of
Yeah, putting
a
number on it's tough. You're right.
So... Look,
I think it'd be huge. I tell you Ooh. What, I'd go out of my way to watch it. I watch it every week anyway, but I'd go out of my way to make sure I watched it every week.
You just oohed something on New Japan World.
Yeah, Fantastic Mania will have English commentary.
I thought you were going to say it was like Strangle Mania.
No.
Fucking tub of shit. Look at this fucking...
Well, that's pretty exciting.
What?
Fantastic Mania with English commentary.
It's going to be fantastic.
A lot of guys from CMLL.
As long as it's not Crash, we're good to go.
Yeah, you're not a big fan of the Crash?
Oh, the Crash? Well, even Teddy Hart didn't show up for those shows, so there you
Can
go.
Can you blame
him? I'm looking for my girl. She's been gone for 3 years.
Hey.
Hey. Speaking of being gone for 3 years, we're going to talk a little New Japan when we get back.
We'll we didn't even get to talk about this Tanahashi Jericho thing.
You don't want to? All right.
You want to talk about Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry. I stepped all over you. No, that's fine.
I'm going to, you know, fucking just do a little... thing where I ask Kevin to say something the way we always say.
Oh, go ahead. Dylan. All right. You got it. Back after this.
We here at the Shining Wizards know that you love to do online shopping, and most of you do it through Amazon. But don't go to Amazon.com. Go to Amazon.ShiningWizards.com, and when you shop, any money that you spend goes a little bit to support the show. It's not a whole lot, but every little bit helps. And the more you buy, the more we get supported, and the more everybody can be happy, and we can continue to bring you the best professional wrestling podcasting.
The revolution will be broadcast.
Hey everyone, this is Justin, one of your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown. Join myself, Skeets the Wonder Dog, and my co-host Vince as we bring you an unfiltered anti-PC look at the week in entertainment, sports, music, comic books, video games, and professional wrestling. Also, each week we do a top 10 list and answer listener questions. Catch new episodes every Sunday everywhere you get podcasts. Follow us on social media at InconclusivePod or Facebook.com/InconclusiveBreakdown. As always, we are a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network.
your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese man of war Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
Horns up! This is Rock from Radioactive Metal. Join Snowy, Kareem, Aaron, and myself right here on the Shining Wizards Network every Friday for your weekly metal fix. We talk to all your favorite artists, cover all the latest metal news, cover all the latest releases, and feature brand new unsigned bands. So sit back, grab a beer, download the latest episode, and always remember, it's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.
Hey, this is Mike from the Midnight Jury. When you are done with this show, join my co-host Cal and I every week as we travel back to the last old-school generation of the 80s and 90s to review the best and worst in pop culture, horror, and music on WLWstudios.com or the Midnight Jury feeds on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, or Player FM. Go back in time when it was all about VHS, arcades, and hanging out at the mall. And remember that every second Saturday of the month, we go live at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on rantemradio.com, which includes taking your calls. Once again, that's the Midnight Jury, where the 80s and 90s return from the dead on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Player FM, and our home, WLWstudios.com. We'll see you there.
All right.
Lots of good music.
And we want to take this time to thank those that support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. 2019, we started our own Patreon, and it's been awesome. We put out a lot of great new content, a lot of listen, a lot of watch-alongs, and it's helped us further this podcast. We can continue. Matt speaks. Take two.
Words are hard.
We can continue to give you this show free every week because of your support on the Patreon. We continue to upgrade our equipment to give you the best quality show we can. With that being said, if you enjoy what you're listening to, please take a minute, go over to patreon.com/wizardspodcast. Check out the levels. It starts at $1. $1 a month, you can support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. We'll give you a shout out every week. We got our results from Spotify. All right, we're listened to in 12 countries. Over 500,000 minutes listened. I mean,
that's Spotify only.
That's just Spotify. That's not iTunes. That's not Google Play. It's not TuneIn. I'm not saying we're the biggest podcast in the world, but if you want a shout out,
we're pretty close.
And you want a lot of strangers to hear it,
that's right.
We're the people that can do that for you.
You know how much poon or how much dick you'll get if they hear your name every week on the Shining Wizards?
How wow. much?
A lot. It's unquantifiable. You need a scientist, a mathematician, a physicist, an astronomer, an astrologer, and an astronaut to figure that shit out.
Wow. I didn't see that.
That's a lot of work, man.
And as the tiers go up, you get more perks. For $3 a month, you get our monthly watch-along, plus a shout-out. And as it goes higher, more perks, ending with, I think it's, what, $20 a month?
You got the deluxe box of wizardry for that bad boy.
And I pack Ooh. A bunch of stuff into a package, and I send it out to you. Wrestling t-shirts, DVDs, Shining Wizards merch.
He packs that shit tighter than Lars.
That's it. Mitch Bennett. Please use his shoot name. We got all sorts of goodies. So if you enjoy what you're listening to, please, by all means, head over to patreon.com/wizardspodcast. Support the show in 2020. We got our hands in a lot of cookie jars, and we're looking to give you the best product possible. With that being said, Anthony, Danny Rusinello, the AOP, Cindy Ardone, the Smoke Show, Dark Helmet himself, Ryan Arthur, the Queen of the Shining Wizards, Kathy Hummer, the King of the Shining Wizards, Manuel Crockville, Mike Martinelli, Sean Callejo, Sean Toe, Kate the Great,
KTG.
Matt Garifo, hey. Brett Simonello, Scotch Drinks More, Mr. Kenny Horsey. Matt Mellinger. Kareen, the spicy chick from Radioactive Metal.
Spicy.
Who else we got?
Mott Spock, Mr. Thomas Copps.
All right.
Benjamin Martinez, the Ultimate Warrior.
And of course.
Oh.
Mr. William Mercier Jr.
Lives are going to be in William Mercier's hands. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean, Kevin.
You know what was great?
Woo!
Heart Attack faded out just as you were pulling that one in. So I didn't even have to stop it. Kevin had perfect timing on that.
Well, because Bret Hart's the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
Oh, don't you know?
Hey, don't you know? No, I have a lot of respect for William Mercier Jr.
He reminds me of my brother Owen.
I got a lot of respect for these Patreon followers. They do great things for us. They support us. They donate $1 a month at least.
Before we get into the New Japan Pro Wrestling talk,
uh-oh,
I want to thank them very much.
Tony,
yes.
MLW released a list of their top 10 craziest moments of the year.
I got a lot of respect for MLW. I think they do a great job on the Ben network, you know, up in Canada. It's called Charles. Network.
I got it. I was there. Thanks. I ain't laughing, but I got it.
Can you guess?
The top 10?
Yeah, can you guess any of them?
Jacob Fatu wins the championship.
Okay.
Got a lot of respect
that
for
that. That was number six.
Number six?
The Mance Warner fucking...
No. Is that even in the top 10? I doubt it.
What, the whole match where they had to spend the entire show fighting each other? Who is it, Mance Warner?
The Mance Warner-Jimmy Havoc feud is number four.
The feud?
There you go.
Okay. Tom Lawler beating Lowkey for the championship?
No, it's not.
Wow, that didn't
Dynasty Hart Foundation?
No.
Von Erich's winning the titles.
Now, these are 10 craziest moments. They're not necessarily matches.
Oh, okay.
Selena getting put through the table.
That's number one.
There you go. Boom. Tom Lawler running on the subway.
That's number nine.
Tony, an MLW expert.
Mr. Grimm getting knocked out by Lowkey?
No, but Mr. Grimm was released.
Oh, that sucks.
Him and Ricky Martinez.
Ricky Martinez got let go?
They
released Barrington Hughes as well.
Yeah, that's Mr. Grimm, isn't it?
No. Mr. Grimm was the guy
Barrington
that got knocked
Hughes is the
out.
Big boy.
Yeah. Barrington Hughes is the guy with the fucking diabetes face.
All right, well, he's out. Him and Ricky Martinez are out. Mr. Grimm is still in, I guess.
He was probably just there for a shot or two.
All right.
Davey Boy beating Tim Thatcher?
No.
No?
You got three left. No, four. Excuse me.
Fuck. What other? Oh.
What's his nuts taking out the Von Erichs? The one guy?
Who got the fireball to the face? It was Marshall, wasn't it? The fireball from what's his name? The Sheik. Yeah, what the fuck?
You're in the ballpark.
Samael.
Wrong tag team.
Samael. Who did he hit with a fireball? Oh, he hit Teddy Hart with the fireball.
Wrong tag team.
Wait, who the fuck else? Oh, did he hit one of the Laparkas?
You're getting warmer.
Ray
Harus?
No.
Or the Lucha Brothers?
No, they took out the Lucha Brothers. That was it. Who
Lucha
took
Brothers?
It was what's his name? They melted his mask
Phoenix.
To his face. Phoenix, that's right.
Number eight. That was number eight.
What else are we missing?
Number 10 is one of your least favorite moments in MLW, and it just happened recently.
Oh, was it the mask versus the fucking hooded mask match?
No, it wasn't. It was another. It's in that realm.
Oh, God.
Did you guys say Lawler betraying the Von Erichs?
No.
That's number five.
Oh, yeah,
I did. Who was whoever jumped?
Number seven was Mance Warner chasing Promociones Del Rato with a chainsaw.
Okay, I forgot about that. That was a good one.
And God number 10 was the Spider Lady attacking.
Are you serious?
That's number 10,
Are
Tony.
Are you serious?
It's number 10.
Craziest moment.
It's number 10, Tony.
Time out. Look, I love me some Priscilla Kelly. She's awesome. However, I don't know what that dog shit was that they were trying to do with her. Kevin, if you haven't seen that, please go back and find it.
I watched the Priscilla Kelly.
It's fucking terrible.
Stuff?
Terrible. She's like, she's walking around like this, like, meow. I'm like, what the fuck are you doing?
I was intrigued by who that was though before she first revealed herself.
It was
and
really,
I mean that like in the mask.
It was strange. I'll leave it at that.
MLW 0 hour Televen tapings are
happening
January 11th.
Televen tapings.
It was a tell of a magic.
Kevin, it was a tell of a taping.
Yeah, and Jimmy Havoc takes on Mance Warner in a no ropes barbed wired match.
Hell yeah!
Ross takes on Tom Lawler.
Hell yeah!
Hammerstone defends boots, against Aerostar.
Jimmy Ross.
Marshall Von Erich defends against MJF. If MJF wins, the Dynasty will get a tag title match against the Von Erichs.
All right, because you said defends. Okay.
If Marshall wins, MJF can't challenge the Von Erichs for the tag titles. Eric Stevens debuts, and they just announced a triple threat tag match with Injustice. I have it right here. Shit.
How are they not in the top 10 at all?
Injustice, Hijo de la Parca, and Taurus, and Dragon, and Puma King.
Okay.
So that is the next set of tapings coming up for MLW. Oh, shit. I dropped more notes.
Oh, shit.
I got a lot of notes
here.
Oh,
shit.
It's the end of the decade. It's the end of the year. So WWE put out a list of their top 10 matches from 2019.
Oh, I thought you were going to go with the decade thing. Yeah. I thought you were going to go with who their top 10 wrestlers of the decade were.
And this is going to be a special on the WWE Network.
Oh, fucking so glad I pay my $9.99 for that shit.
If you want to watch the best matches of the year. What do you think number one was?
God. Seth Rollins beating Brock Lesnar?
Negative. That was number 10. That happened at SummerSlam, right?
At least it made the list. What happened at Mania this year, Kev? Oh, Ronda Rousey and fucking Becky Lynch winning the title, the triple threat.
That was number 9.
What? The headlining match of WrestleMania only hit number 9?
Only number 9.
Oh, I know what it was. It was probably DX against the Brothers of Destruction.
Not even on the list.
What? Are you sure this is a WWE list?
I'm sure.
Wow.
Number one, you're in the right ballpark with WrestleMania.
What, Kev, what happened at WrestleMania this year?
Didn't Baron Corbin beat Kurt Angle?
Not on the list.
What title matches were there this past year at WrestleMania? I don't even fucking remember.
Kofi Kingston beating...
Oh, fuck yeah.
Daniel Bryan.
That is the number one match of 2019.
All right.
How many matches are we doing? 10 or 20?
There were 10.
I'll take that. How about Brock Lesnar beating Tyson Fury at Saudi Arabia?
No more Brock Lesnar on the list. Okay.
Is there any NXT on this?
There's two NXT on here.
Oh, it's got to be a woman's match.
No, it's got to be a fucking Gargano
No Rhea
match.
Ripley match?
It's got to be a Gargano match.
No Team Ripley versus Team What's-Her-Face?
No, I don't think
nothing
so.
From
War Games.
Nothing from War
nothing
Games.
Nothing from War Games.
Wow,
they are both from NXT Takeover New York.
Gargano, Ricochet.
No.
Pew pew no. Pew 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 pew. No.
Gargano, yes. Gargano, Ciampa? Adam Cole, 2 out of 3 falls.
Baby.
NXT Takeover New York is number 3.
All right. No Gargano, Ricochet.
No.
That was this year, right? Though.
Pew, 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 pew.
Your guess is as good as mine. Your other NXT match is Pete Dunne versus Walter from NXT TakeOver New York at number 7. Number 8 is your Elimination Chamber match. Daniel Bryan, Samoa Joe, AJ Styles, Kofi Kingston, Jeff Hardy, Randy Orton.
All right, so what do we have left? How many matches?
We have the number 2 match, you have the number 4 match, the number 5 match, the number 6 match.
I really hate this list.
Two of them are women's match, the other are men's matches.
Is any from not a pay-per-view?
Negative. They're all from pay-per-view.
Oh, the Elimination Chamber women's match, no?
No.
Wow.
Your women's matches
Hell in a Cell.
Yes,
it
Becky
was,
Lynch.
It was Sasha Banks and
Becky.
Becky, yeah.
That's number 2.
There you go.
And then
I really like that match, by the way. That was a great match. They did a lot of different shit in that one to set themselves apart.
Your other women's match comes in at number 5, Ronda Sasha Banks from the Royal Rumble.
Ronda Sasha Banks.
It's got an AJ Styles match has to be on there, or a Seth Rollins match has to be on there.
Now just put them together, Kev.
AJ versus Seth Rollins.
Hell in a Cell.
Money in the Bank.
From WrestleMania 40-something.
And then the only match you're missing is number 6, the Money in the Bank ladder match.
Bobby Lashley.
No, the Money in the Bank
Bobby
match.
Lashley.
Randy Orton, Mustafa Ali, Andrade, Baron Corbin, Drew McIntyre, Finn Balor, Ricochet.
Wait, Mustafa Ali was eliminated early, wasn't he? No, Brock Lesnar won that, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ah, so Brock Lesnar was on the list, you piece of shit.
Well, no spoilers.
That's right. That's great. Awesome. All right, so we got all 10 of those?
We got all 10. Now, can you tell me?
Oh boy,
I'm gonna go to WWE.com if this is what I think you're going.
WWE Backstage year-end award winners.
Oh, I watched it. So,
all right, who's the female superstar of the year?
Becky.
All right, who's the male?
Seth Rollins.
Seth.
Incorrect.
Brock Lesnar.
Incorrect.
Kofi Kingston.
Incorrect.
AJ Styles.
Wrong.
Daniel Roman Reigns.
Wrong.
Oh my God, Rey Mysterio.
Triple H.
Wrong.
Samoa Joe.
Wrong.
Baron Corbin.
Wrong.
Daniel Bryan.
Wrong.
Lars Sullivan.
Wrong.
Big E.
Bret Hart. Coco Beware.
King Kong Bundy.
Oh God, this is. Hold on. Oh, Braun Strowman.
Kurt Angle.
I think we may have said it. There's no way.
You didn't. Shorty G.
How about you say fucking Bray Wyatt?
Correct.
I don't think.
I was thinking The Fiend, not Bray Wyatt.
You didn't say either of them.
You're right.
There's no way that he is that. By the way,
really glad that you're.
This was voted on by the fans.
The fans love
the. They got those little shitty trophies in the back. I actually do remember watching a little bit of that.
Tag team of the year.
You get it in the back, all right, Kev.
Hawkins and Ryder.
Whoa.
Viking Raiders. Gallows and Anderson.
No way. Gallows
New Day.
And Anderson.
Correct.
Yeah, there you go.
Ding.
Gallows and Anderson never win an award for anything.
They're the best tag team in the world.
I'm going to throw you. This one's the softball. The women's tag team of the year.
The Bukkake Warriors.
Sasha. Correct. What? Sasha Ding. And Bayley are.
Oh, she cried and went home, that bitch.
You went home.
It's the Bukkake.
I am home.
Bukkake Warriors.
Right. The Bukkake Warriors.
The breakthrough superstars of the year.
The Bukkake Warriors.
Ali.
Shorty G. Mansoor.
Baron Corbin.
The breakout.
Superstars.
So it's Ricochet?
Undisputed Era.
He said it's Ricochet. What a dick.
Well, I was naming one of the superstars. Wait, so they're.
It's a tag team.
Oh. Viking Raiders.
No.
I don't know who voted for this shit, but this is fucking dumb.
Oh, Street Profits.
Correct.
I was going to say the Revival next.
And then the moment of the year was our number one match of the year. So Kofi winning the WWE title.
That earned it.
There's also a title change at a house show right in our backyard the day after Christmas.
Andrade's.
How did Andrade not get a match in that list, by the way? Correct. Didn't he have a great match with Mysterio?
Wasn't top 10 material, my friend.
Wasn't top 10 Mysterio.
Oof. Just let that simmer.
Right?
Yeah, that's right. Ladies and gentlemen, follow us on Twitter and Instagram.
Turn that down to low heat, put the lid on top, and let it sit.
So Andrade beat Mysterio. So now he's the...
So now Andrade gets the new shitty belt whenever they debut it.
So wait, Daniel Bryan's haircut wasn't top 10 moment of the year?
Not top 10 matches.
You're confusing MLW
and WWE. Okay. Daniel Bryan did win a triple threat match Friday night at SmackDown.
Correct.
He beat King Corbin and The Miz, so now he will get the title shot against The Fiend at the Royal Rumble.
Miz got robbed.
And then there is a New Year's Eve show tomorrow night.
Great.
Where the WWE will show us a Roman Reigns-Dolph Ziggler match.
Show us?
Yeah.
On the network ski?
No. It'll be on Fox's New Year's Eve show.
Oh, yeah.
Fox.
Did you look at their stars for the decade?
No. Is that a thing?
Yeah. So it's editor's choice. Who was WWE's superstar of the decade?
Okay. How many spots we got?
I'm going to go through it. Hold on. It's not
you're not going to let us guess?
No, it's not a countdown, so I don't know how many spots there are.
Oh.
So I'm going through it right now. So there's one, two,
superstars
three,
of the decade?
Four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Oh, wow. 10. Oh my God.
Oh, this is fucking.
All right, so there's 10 and they're all different. And
okay.
You're not going to guess two of them.
So I brought up like maybe we should do like a decade thing. So I actually got in the Wayback Machine. This starts in 2010, right?
Yes.
Okay, so remember, 10 years ago was WrestleMania 26.
Yeah.
Which had Undertaker Shawn Michaels on it.
That was the first or second one?
That was the second one. That was the second one. So just to give you kind of an idea. I feel like those matches were a fucking lifetime ago, but it's only been 10 years.
So what are you coming up with?
I'm just saying, like, just remember how long 10 years is.
No, but what's the point? Like big things that have happened in the past decade?
No, because if we're gonna name superstars of the decade and there's 10.
Oh, superstars. All right, so
just understand how long that covers. And remember, this is WWE.
Superstars of the decade. Now, wait, who voted on this?
These are the editors. Each one has a different choice. So it's like their choice for their superstar of the decade. So it's not like a countdown.
Okay.
Is people repeated them or they each have a different one?
No, they all have a different one.
Can I get a Seth Rollins?
Let's see. I'm sure you can. Yes, you can. Seth Rollins.
I like how Kevin's got an iPad, but he chooses to do all this from his iPhone 5.
It's easier to carry.
Well, your iPad's right there.
Ding!
No?
It's easier to scroll. How about that?
All right. That I'll buy.
All right. So we got one.
Daniel Bryan.
Yes.
Has to be.
Correct. Ding!
Brock Lesnar?
Yes.
There you go.
Correct. Can I get a John Cena?
Yes, you can.
Can I get a Roman Reigns?
Yes, you can.
Correct.
A Becky Lynch?
Ding. Yes, you can.
A Charlotte?
Correct. No, you ding. Can't.
No Charlotte. Whoa.
Becky Lynch was the only female.
All right, so we got six, right? I think we're at six.
Yeah, and I got one wrong because I'm a dick.
And two you were not going to get.
Two we're not going to get.
I don't know about that.
Maybe not right away, but.
Past decade.
The Miz.
That's the one I didn't think you were going to get.
Wow. Well, one
correct.
Of them. Good
ding.
One.
Wow. All I'm right. surprised he's even on there because of that WrestleMania win, I guess.
Is there a CM Punk?
I was just thinking that.
There's not a CM
wow,
Punk.
Wow.
Really? Okay.
That's a bit of a surprise.
Okay.
Then again, it's the editor, so they probably don't want to give him any lip service.
I mean,
so.
He's on the backstage show.
Oh, you want to get into that?
There's no Ziggles, is there?
There's no Ziggles.
Oof. Kane?
There's no Kane.
Oh, come on. Undertaker?
There's no Undertaker.
Wow.
No one put Triple H in there, did they?
There's no Triple H. Okay.
Shawn Michaels?
There's no Shawn Michaels.
He was in 25 and 26 WrestleMania.
That's fair.
And he wrestled in Saudi Arabia. They had a great match against the Brothers of Destruction.
That's was the match of the decade.
And he was a referee.
A referee. And he's got one eye.
Just the way you have
Mysterio?
Like nope.
Fuck. How many are left, Kev?
It's four. We should have four left. Four. No, three, because I got the Miz, right?
Yeah.
So, tag teams or all singles?
All singles.
Wow. Kofi?
Yep.
Whoa!
Oh, nice. Good call.
Was that the other
correct.
One or the one that you...
That was... Ding. No, that's not the one I didn't think you were going to get.
Really?
Jericho?
No.
I would say Kurt Angle, but he had a very short run.
No Ziggles. No Mysterio.
Bray Wyatt?
Nope.
That was a reach. Wow.
How many, Randy Orton.
Yeah. Randy Orton.
There you go.
All right. And there's one. We should have one more?
Two more.
I believe you're down to one.
One.
More.
And this is one that you don't think we're going to get.
This is the one I don't think you're going to get.
Superstar of the decade. Batista? We said,
again, this is just one person's opinion.
Did
so.
We say Baron Corbin?
He's not on there.
Batista.
Okay. No.
Oh, fuck me. Sheamus?
Yes.
Whoa! Yeah, smoke and mirrors, baby.
Correct.
Why'd you hit the buzzer, you dick?
Wrong button, sorry.
Let me, I want to
read it. Sheamus had a good run over the past 10 years.
I'm going to read this guy's explanation of Sheamus.
I buy it. I buy it. We haven't seen him in a while, but I buy that.
Sheamus ushered in the 2010s as a WWE champion. As yes. it turned out, that was only a sign of things to come. The decade followed. The Celtic Warrior earned a trove of accolades, World Heavyweight Champion, United States Champion, Raw and SmackDown Tag Team Champion, King of the Ring, winning the Royal Rumble in 2012, which they don't put there, but I remember it. And yeah, so that's good enough for me.
And he had the backing of the former governor of Minnesota, Jesse the Body Ventura. That was when Jesse came back and did commentary with McMahon. He gave the rub to Sheamus.
Great call, Tony.
I know.
I did not think you were going to get that. But out of the two of you, I'm not surprised Tony got it.
I completely forgot about Sheamus.
We are the bar. I fucking love the bar. I miss the bar, dude.
I love the bar, too.
Stay in the WWE department for a minute. At that Worlds Collide, they're going to do Undisputed Era against Imperium.
Yes. So Walter can lose in 20 seconds again.
Oh, God.
Now, is that just a traditional, or are they all individual matches?
No, it's a four-on-four match.
Four-on-four?
Yeah, I'm assuming it's the main event. Ring of Honor is running a show next weekend.
Why wouldn't they do that? I'm sorry to cut you off. Why wouldn't they do that at War Games?
Because it's when worlds collide, Kevin.
Yeah. Kev, you know why they're doing this, Kevin? Your two favorite words in describing what WWE does. Brand supremacy!
Oh, no, those are your two favorite words.
Yeah, no, I thought everybody.
My two favorite words are my job.
Oh, shit.
Ring of Honor is running January 11th and 12th. Marty Scurll is on both of the shows.
Of course he is.
Good.
So I guess he's working with a handshake or just finishing up. He is still six-man tag champion with Brody King and PCO.
Who is the
world champion.
Yeah, that's right.
So he's defending against Rush Saturday night. And Villain Enterprises is taking on Bendito Flamita and Rey Horus.
Bendito Flamita.
Dragon Lee's defending against Andrew Everett. Jonathan Gresham takes on Josh Woods. And there's a women's tag match.
Is it a lore against Mary Manic?
It's a lore against Mary Nicole Savoy and Sumi Sakai.
Wait, Old Savoy?
Nicole Savoy.
Oh,
Nicole.
I was like, what the fuck is an Old Savoy?
And then the next night, Honor reigns supreme with the Villain Enterprises defending their six-man tag titles against La Fashion in Grenoble, which is Roosh, Dragon Lee, and Kenny King. Flip takes on Flamita. Bandito takes on Alex Zane. Rey Horus takes on Andrew Everett. And Lifeblood takes on Vincent and Tyler Bateman. I got into it on a Ring of Honor post with some fucking Ring of Honor fans the other day.
Why?
Because
did they like the Roosh loss?
It was like, do you think Roosh can win back the title? I was like, I hope so. It was a terrible idea for Ring of Honor to take the title off of him. They need to stick to wrestling and not entertainment because they're not an entertainment company. And then there was a couple people who were like, oh, wrestling is entertainment. And then one kid's like, the pay-per-view was great. You're on drugs. I'm like, the pay-per-view was great. The main event was shit. You're wrong. I said, don't tell me I'm fucking wrong. It's my opinion. Go fuck your hand.
Don't tell me I'm wrong. Go fuck your asshole. Hand.
He's like, you must be one of those. And then someone this morning was like, you must be one of those wrestling smart marks. I'm like, first of all, don't comment on something until you've read the whole thread. And secondly, go fuck your hand.
Wow.
Because I like the show. I think PCO is the world champion. It's a terrible look for Ring of Honor. And I think Roosh is a perfect chicken shit heel. And now he's got a faction. So suck it. A
lot of factions.
Yes. Eat my balls.
Eat my balls.
Where do you think Allure goes? You think they sign with MLW?
Gives a shit. Fucking women's wrestling. Get the fuck out of here. AEW's pay-per-view sold out, too, in under an hour Friday.
Oh, well, there you go.
No matches announced.
There you go. I'm loving it.
Now, do you want to get into this New Japan Pro Wrestling gimmick?
Yeah. Do you want me to just do what we normally do?
You want to hit it?
It's time for the Shining Wizards pay-per-view pick extravaganza. We're traveling to the Orient for Wrestle Kingdom 14. The first time ever, it's a two-night show. January 4th and 5th, New Japan Pro Wrestling invades the Tokyo Dome in Tokyo, Japan. Tagline Liger, the final.
Oh. Sorry, had to get that out.
All right.
Is it okay to say traveling to the Orient, or is that like a bad thing to say now?
You said it, so don't worry about it.
That's all right. It's already in the books.
All right, so going into this weekend, I am the king of the castle. Not by much, though. I have a one-game lead over both Kevin and Tony, who sit at 223 and 119. I already know who I'm picking, but...
So do I, for 95% of the show.
I'm just going to fuck with both of you, though, because the Wrestle Kingdom odds have also been released. So if you're a game... Oh, Kevin's got the odds, too! Wow, we should have been doing picks for the last 8 years. Kevin came correct today.
Yeah.
Some of them are a little surprising.
Well, if you know your Wrestle Kingdom history, traditionally... This is where they finish up all the feuds, and then 2 days after, they have the new beginning show where they kind of start up again. So I guess we're going to start on night one. There's a lot. Are we picking the women's tag match?
The stardom one?
Do you want to pick any of the dark matches, the pre-show matches?
What? I think we have to. But, Kevin...
Is the stardom match a pre-show match?
It is.
Are some of the pre-show matches like the 8-man tag matches with everything?
Which one do you have?
I have what I think is the entire card, so I have no idea.
You have 11 matches.
For night one?
Yes.
I think I have 10.
Do you have the stardom tag match?
That's like Julia and...
and Hana Kimura against Mayu Iwatani and Risa Hoshiki.
Okay. Do you have
Great Bash Heel versus...
No, but I know... I don't have it, but I know that that's
okay, the Young Lions.
The Great Bash Heel versus the Young...
Yeah, it's Alex Coughlin.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't have it, but I knew that that was the thing.
Okay, and you have
Tenkozy versus Yuji Nagata and Manabu Nakanishi.
I did not have that.
Okay. Hiroshi Tenzin and Satoshi Kojima.
Oh, yes, I knew that was a thing, too, yes.
Right. Okay, so we should be
I just didn't have it printed up. That's fine.
Okay, cool.
We'll be good.
I don't understand. Like, there's sports betting in New Jersey is legal, but I can't get the Wrestle Kingdom predictions here because they can't provide services to residents of my location. That makes absolutely no sense on every level.
Well, look, if you just want to, I have them right here. Just go to Meltzer's, F4WOnline.com. I'll let you look. Tony pull up the odds too.
No, you could talk amongst yourselves.
Okay. You're just going to go to the, well, it's under the daily news for the day.
Oh, daily news. I like that. Where's the daily news?
No.
Here?
No.
I don't know. Right there. Oh, odds. Here we go.
There you go. So Tony's
why
got
are you
the
talking
odds.
About Tanahashi?
What do you mean, why are they talking about Tanahashi?
Fucking people might not be saying bad shit about my boy
Fuck
Tanahashi.
The ace, bro.
Who's this fucking tubby shit over here?
That's Fedor. That's a completely different
fucking
sport.
Kill me. Now, I don't want to make fun of Fedor.
Don't.
Do a couple right. crunches, though, buddy. Yikes.
All right.
I'm excited.
Now, here's my question before we dive into our picks.
Oh, Rene Goulet died.
Yeah.
Apparently he died in May, though.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, we didn't get to cover that a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
He died in May, but I don't know why it wasn't announced until...
His family wanted to kept it quiet.
You no say nothing about...
The fallout from this double main event. Are we waiting to see who's in these two matches on night two?
I think that's the way we should do it, no?
Right, because we can't pick, like...
If we're wrong?
Or do you want to lock in as if it were a tournament? I mean, we could do that, like, NCAA style.
Nah,
you know?
I think that fucks with the whole...
Yeah, and the picks for the second round aren't going to be worth more. They're still just going to be worth a point.
I was going into this like we were picking everything. Like, if it wasn't, say, like, we picked... Like,
so let's just say you pick Naito and Okada, and they're going to face off for the double championship, but they both lose.
Then they're still going to face each other anyway.
That's true.
But we get...
But what if you pick Jay White and Naito wins, and then you pick Ibushi and Ibushi wins? Now, do you stick... And say you didn't pick Ibushi to win the championship. You had, you know... Whoever else.
Right, like, so if I pick Ibushi to beat Okada and I pick Naito to beat Jay White, but Jay White beats Naito. And
then Jay
gets...
White wins over Okada, right, running.
We can wait on that.
Do we want to wait on that?
I think that's the smart thing to do.
But in my head today, it made sense. Somehow I justified it in my head.
You're picking Ibushi, aren't you?
That we would pick everything tonight.
Let's see where we're going first, and then we'll see what we could do here.
Well, we're going to pick night one, right?
Obviously. We're going to pick both nights.
We're going to pick both nights, just not the second part of the title picture for the second night.
We'll see. We'll see what happens here.
Oh, there's more. Oh, fuck. There's another one that's
there's two
contingent.
Nights, you fuckhead.
No, but there's more that's contingent on what happens on night one.
Yeah, kind
of. Well, just one.
Yeah, a little
thing,
bit.
But, all right. So the women's... This
oh,
the
we're
first
picking
time,
these?
Yeah.
All right.
The first time ever women's wrestling under... I don't know if it's the first time ever. I don't want to...
No, I think that's what they said.
I read that, but
it's
I don't
a big
know.
Deal at Wrestle Kingdom. I think I have it in my notes.
But is it
here.
A Craig Steele big deal, Kevin?
No, nothing is.
Oh,
ever.
Nothing's as big a deal as Craig Steele.
He is a big deal. So, do you want me to start calling out the matches?
I mean, we have to pick the first one.
You want me to do my little.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, do it. Go ahead, Tony. Hit us.
Women's tag team action from Stardom. Mayu Iwatani and Arisa Hoshiki versus Julia and Hana Kimura. Kimura Nanalei and not in the match. Sorry.
Knowing nothing about this at all, I will go with Julia Gulia and Hannah Montana.
That's my gut, and that's what I'm going to go with, too, because I actually did a little research on them. I like Mayu Iwatani. She was impressive with Kelly Klein, but sorry, I like the young bitches.
I'm going Iwatani.
You're a fucking loser.
Maybe. I
hope so.
Maybe.
All right. This is 8-man tag action? Well, fuck me.
The Great Bash Heel, Tomokai Homa and Togi Makabe, teaming up with Yuya Yurunuma and Yoda Tsuji versus Toa Harada, Alex Coughlin, Clark Connors, and Carl Fredericks. I'm taking Team Japan.
The Great Bash Heel?
Yes, the Great Bash Heel. I thought the Great Bash Heel was only the first two guys, though. And then
it
the
is.
Team...
It is.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so I'm going GBH.
So am I.
Fucking A, dude.
Look, we all know what the Young Lions, what the role is. They get a little bit of the rub.
Yes, Carl Fredericks needs a little rubbing. He needs somebody.
Well, he should hit up the Miracle Mitch Bennett.
He needs a little undercarriage rub and tug.
Tenkozy, Hiroshi Tenzan, and Satoshi Kojima versus Yuji Nagata and Manabu Nakanishi.
I'm going 10.
I'm going 10.
That's Tenzan and... I'm going with Tenzan and...
And Kojima.
Yeah, Tenkozy. Yeah.
All right, now we're on to the
this
main event.
This is the show proper, yes.
Okay.
8-man tag action. Jushin Thunder Liger, Tatsumi Fujinami, The Great Sasuke, Tiger Mask with El Samurai, taking on Nakoi Sano, Shinjiro Otani, Tashito Kayawa, and Reisuke Taguchi with Kuinaki Kobayashi.
Fuck it. Liger's been losing every fucking matchup to this point. Is he wrestling night two, by the way?
Yes.
Oh, fuck. Why did I even ask that question?
All right, well, let's look at
that
the odds, Tony.
Dude,
Liger's team is the favorite.
So many fucking legends.
You have to bet a lot of money to win $100. You have to bet $400 to win $100.
The odds are that close?
Liger's that's minus 400.
That means that you have favorite. To bet $400 to win.
There's
a
just so
amount.
Many legends there, but if Liger's wrestling the next night, is he going to wind up winning both nights? That's what I'm fucking stuck on. You know what? Fuck it. I'm going legends. I'm going Liger's team.
Me too.
Just because, dude, fucking Fujinami, Sasuke, and Tiger Mask are all on that team with him. That's crazy.
I'm going with the Liger team.
I'll go with the Liger team too.
Not to mention, look at the other side. You got Otani, you got Taguchi, Kobayashi.
Taguchi's the only guy that you could see them wanting to get big, but he doesn't have to take the pin.
No.
So, right? Taguchi's the rugby guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the six-man never open. Oh, never open,
which is on the line the next night?
Yes, in a gauntlet match.
Oh, and Norio Hogan.
The six-team gauntlet match.
Norio Hogana is going to be the special referee. So they Honaga.
All right, let's get down to some meat and potatoes here.
This is a tough fucking pay-per-view.
They're always tough. These fucking Wrestle Kingdom shows are fucking bags of shit.
I never know what to expect out of them.
Hit me, Tony.
Los Ingobernables de Japón, Evil Sanada, Tagaki and Bushi versus Suzuki Gun, Minoru Suzuki, Taichi, Zack Sabre Jr., and El Desperado.
All right, before you boys make your...
I'm not going to make a pick. Can I just say that I highlighted the winners. I highlighted both these teams because this is probably the toughest one for me to pick.
Really?
So this is a kind of a preview of night two. Sonata is taking on Zack Sabre Jr. for his British Heavyweight Championship. And I think LIJ is involved in the six-man
Strangle Mania.
Things to keep in mind. Suzuki-gun is not doing so great. There seems to be a power struggle at the top with Minoru Suzuki and Taichi. El Desperado just came back several months ago, and him and Kanemura had a good showing in the World Tag League. With that being said... Fuck, this is tough.
I told you this was a hard. Yeah. This was the toughest one.
And usually these LIJ Suzuki Gun matches can go either way at any time.
The killer is that there's two nights. That's like the biggest wild card in this.
And it's a first, man.
I think that we're finally going to see Taichi take over Suzuki Gun, and I think that's going to affect the outcome. I'm taking LIJ.
I like what Evil and Sonata have done this year. That's why I'm leaning toward LIJ. They had a hell of a year, both of them.
Now the question is, how strong of a weekend is LIJ going to have? That was my gut. So I'm going with my gut, and I'll sacrifice maybe a pick tomorrow night. I'm going with LIJ.
Yeah, let's make it three. Fuck, that is a tough one. Fuck.
Everyone playing it close to the vest.
No, not really.
I'll tell you, I'll explain in night two why I wasn't sure about it.
Okay.
Oh, boy. My throat's killing me right now.
You want me to do this?
No, I can do it.
All right.
8-man tag team action again.
This is the fourth fucking 8-man tag match?
Oh, baby. It's Wrestle Kingdom.
Chaos, Hiroki Goto, Tomohiro Ishii, that's Big Tom to you, Toru Yano, and Yoshihashi versus the Bullet Club, Matt's favorite wrestler ever, Bad Luck Fale, Chase Owens, Kenta, and Yujiro Takahashi. Chase Owens has tits.
I'll start. I'll go, I'm going Bullet Club.
Another match that has implications for night two.
I understand.
With Kenta and, Mr. Hiroki Goto, I'm also going Bullet Club.
That makes me feel so much better.
I love me some Big Tom Ishii, but Kenta's been undefeated since he came back, no?
I mean, he lost in the G1.
Yeah, but I mean, other than that, like, he's been the only guy that's been successfully defending this never openweight championship, no?
Yes.
This is fucking tough, man.
But you have to look.
What do they got for odds? Who are they picking?
Oh, we got Fale's team is a favorite, -192. Goto's team is +130.
I'm going Bullet Club.
All right.
I'm going Bullet Club. Fuck it. Yeah. As much as I like Big Tom Ishii.
I'm going to tell you, I made my picks before I saw the odds, by the way.
All right.
For the most part.
Who do we all pick Bullet Club?
Yeah.
Yes.
Fuck.
All right. Here we go.
Oh, boy. For the IWGP Tag Team Championship, the G.O.D., Tongaloa and Tama Tonga, defend against the fucking worst name I've ever seen on paper since Air Boom.
That's right.
Finn Juice, Juice Robinson, and David Finlay.
I am going Gorillas of Destiny to retain.
I'm so tempted to take Finn Juice, but then I'm also looking on night two that Juice Robinson has a U.S. title match against the winner of the next match. But GOD's had the belts for so long at this point, right?
Not that long. About a year.
It'll be a year.
It'll be close to a year. Didn't they win in April?
No. They won it.
Oh, they won last year?
You're thinking of the Ring of Honor titles.
January-ish. I think it was January-ish.
Did they win at Wrestle Kingdom last year?
Yes. I'm going Gorillas of Destiny because I think...
You think Juice Robinson?
I think Juice tomorrow night factors into it, and I think there's really not a lot of legs under this tag team feud. There's nothing there.
Feud.
Like, Finn Juice won the World Tag League, and that's really it. They've only just been a tag team for about 2 months.
Yeah, but this is... Look... We all know from history, Wrestle Kingdom's the time where they like to flip-flop championships like crazy.
Sure, but this is also the first time they've done two-night Wrestle Kingdom.
So maybe they'll blow their title change load tomorrow night.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, too. If Juice becomes a tag team champion, how is that going to stack up for the U.S. title match?
We'll get there.
Fuck.
If you want to, we can come back to this pick for you.
No. Over. You know what? Fuck it. They're staying. I'm giving it to them for a year. I think you're right. I don't think they have faith in Finn Juice at this point in the game.
All right. So you like the Gorillas?
Yeah.
All right. So Tony, I think you should make the first pick on the.
I will make the first pick for this one. Texas Death Match for the IWGP United States Championship. The match can only be won by a 10-count knockout or by submission. Lance Archer, Jesus, easy for me to say on the fucking English words I'm fucking up. Lance Archer defends against John Moxley. Lance just won the fucking thing. I don't think Lance is going anywhere. I'm going Lance Archer.
I will go the opposite. I will say John Moxley regains the championship.
I am also with Kevin on this. I think John Moxley gets the title back that he never lost.
Tough shit. He's never going to fucking win it.
Well,
doesn't he have to fly back for AEW the next day?
Nope.
No, he's already at AEW the day before.
Two days before. Well, fuck him. He's going to be tired. He's going to lose.
All right.
This one was also very difficult for me, this next one. Tony, go ahead.
Singles match for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. Will Ospreay defends against Hiromu Takahashi. You want me to go first this time?
Go ahead.
Will Ospreay's fucked. Takahashi's back. He wants his title. We've got new champion.
There's two schools of thought on this. To me, Will Ospreay.
Did you burp?
No, I.
My feet stink, dude. Holy fuck! I thought that was a fucking white guy.
And I literally just went like that, so it could have been me.
That's definitely not. It's
no,
me.
It's definitely not.
All right, Will Ospreay.
Sorry.
Wants to move up to the heavyweight division. That's a thing. You have Takahashi coming back, making a big splash. Is this his big splash? Is it too soon for this big splash? I don't know. I have Will Ospreay highlighted. Highlighted.
Wow.
Oof. No, but my gut told me Takahashi. I'm going against the highlight. I'm going Takahashi wins the belt.
Well, there you go.
I'm also taking Hiromu.
Wow.
The time bomb never lost the title, if my memory serves me correct. He broke his neck, so he had to relinquish the title. Took him a year and change to get back.
Yeah, this is a comeback.
The time bomb is ready. And to Kevin's point, Will's looking to move up. And I think we need to start lining up people for the IWGP Intercontinental Championship. And I think Will Ospreay is in the perfect position for that.
But Matt, what are you going to do? Somebody's going to have both belts at the end of the fucking night.
Someone's going to have to defend both belts.
That's fucked up. Speaking of fucked up, singles match for the IWGP Intercontinental Championship. That piece of shit who lacks wrist control, Jay White, defends against Tetsuya Naito.
I would love to hear Matt's take on this first.
Yes.
I love Jay White. I love everything about Jay White.
I know you do.
And I'll hit you with a spoiler. He's going to be the first ever double champion. Okay. Everything Jay White says, Jay White's done all year long. He beat Tanahashi in February. He main evented the Garden. Granted, he lost to Okada. He was down in the G1. He came back. He made it to the finals. Granted, he lost to Ibushi.
That's right.
He beat Naito.
G1 winner.
For the IWGP Intercontinental Championship, like he said he would. He's going to become the first ever double champion. It starts here. He successfully defends his IWGP Intercontinental Championship against Naito.
I'm looking at the odds right now. They have Naito at minus 400 versus Jay White at plus 300. My initial gut was telling me that you're absolutely right. Jay White's going to go on and face Ibushi. However, if they're saving Jay White to take on Ibushi for the next show, it might not be such a bad thing to him for him to lose to somebody that he's had an ongoing thing with anyway in Tetsuya Naito. Like I said, I do have Jay White here, and I'm feeling very unsure about sticking with that and locking that in. Kev, what do you think?
The reason why I wanted Matt's take on this first is because I had a feeling that's exactly what he was going to say.
Oh, he's made no bones about it.
No, but Matt watches way more New Japan than I do. I did like 4 hours of research and clip watching and trolling and this and that today.
Now, I'll throw a couple factors in for you boys since you're on the fence here.
No, I mean, I know what I'm going
to
pick.
All right. Don't forget, Naito was the first person to mention that he wanted to become the double champion. So he planted this seed, I think, back before the G1. So keep that in mind, I guess, if you're on the fence, Tony.
I'm going to... And if this is the difference between the weekend, and if this is the reason... Because I think you and me, Matt, and I think all three of us have a lot of the same picks. If this is the difference between it, I'm okay with it, and I'm okay with going with Naito.
Whoa! So it comes down to me.
Well, for you... Doesn't matter to us, really.
My mind was telling me Jay White versus Ibushi main events the second night.
But what was your heart telling you?
And I still see Kota Ibushi winning the whole thing. That's not changing.
Oh, come on, man. We still got a whole other night to pick.
Look.
Yeah, right.
It's my pick. Shut up. It's my turn to talk.
That's a good talk.
It's
a very good point.
Yeah. I could see them going with Ibushi and Naito because they have a bit of a history,
too. Stick
to
the match.
He's playing it out in his head.
I'm playing it out. Kevin lives in a bubble over here.
Yep.
But Jay White Jay White is just such a fucking asshole, though. You know what? I'm sticking with my guns. Jay White wins. Fuck it.
Oh, mama!
Jay White wins.
That's a big deal.
Yep.
I could... Oh, far.
All right, and then the main event of night one.
Singles match for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. Kashikita Okada defends against the man, the legend, your G1 winner, Kota Ibushi. The man who told Kenny Omega to go fuck himself that he was staying in New Japan to win the fucking world championship. Bank it, put the kids' college fund on it. Kota Ibushi is your new champion. Kevin, Matt, what do you got?
I'm going Ibushi.
All right. I like the idea of Okada Naito again, but I'm also going Ibushi.
I think the rise of Ibushi is a very strong storyline here.
And he's going to be the perfect person to fuck Jay White over. He's going to be the perfect person to fuck that guy over.
All right, so I think we can... Jesus. All right, how do we do night two?
Oh fuck! All right. Well, you could do the reading of these for a little bit.
All right.
I think there's certain matches we can definitely pick.
Oh, we could pick almost the whole thing.
Right. But there's a couple that there's two, the loser bracket and the
winners. But if we all, I think if we have,
and we all have the same three, right?
No,
we don't, because I'm the only one that took Naito.
You took Naito.
I took Naito. I stood with Jay White. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, night two, Wrestle Kingdom 14 from the Tokyo Dome. Our pre-show match is a gauntlet match. Yes.
We all took the same. We all took Ibushi, though, right?
Yeah, so Ibushi will be in
so
the final.
So now if obesity
obesity wins.
If obesity wins, we can all. If you guys both pick Jay White and I pick Naito for this match, then I think we're all on the same page, right? Because it's the other side of the bracket.
We'll find out when we get there. Let's get there first.
Night two, Wrestle Kingdom. Because
I don't think Dickhead's going to take Ibushi.
I have a name. I see what you're saying. But he already made it clear, actually. You're right. So
yeah. Yeah, and so did he.
Yeah, you're right.
But if Naito wins, does that change his mind?
No. Look, I'll get into it when we get there, okay?
Let's get there.
I got it all.
The wheels are, like, turning as, like, we go.
We're thinking about it too much. Go ahead, dude.
The gauntlet match for the NEVER Openweight Six-Man Tag Team Championship. The most violent players, Togi Makabe, Tori Yano, and Taguchi, defend in a gauntlet match against Chaos, Tomohiro Ishii, Big Tom Ishii, Yoshihashi, and Robbie Eagles versus the Bullet Club, Bad Luck Fale, Chase Owens, Yuji Takahashi versus L.I.J., Evil, Shingo, and Bushi versus Suzuki-Gun, Taichi, El Desperado, and Kanemura.
So is that the order of entry?
Don't know.
We don't know that yet.
That's a great question.
Because MVP is the champs, no?
MVP is the champs, yes.
Oof.
I always thought gauntlet matches were kind of...
Oh, you know what? Let me look up, because they've done this before. Maybe I can get an idea here. Hold on. Just bear with me.
This is all kind of like...
Well, order in gauntlet matches, I assume going in that you don't know.
There's not even odds on this fucking match. This is how much they could give less of a shit about it.
I'm going to make my pick anyway, and this is going back to... Oh, you know what? I'll wait, because I want to... I thought that this is why I wasn't sure about the first eight-man, because if this is like... This could be a really strong weekend for LIJ...
I hate these fucking NEVER open weight matches. I just hate them. I hate them.
What do you like?
I think I like Kota Ibushi. I think he's going to make a fine double champion.
All right.
He's going to make history on the fourth and the fifth.
I made the pick beforehand, so I'm going to stick with...
I like Tanahashi.
I'm going to stick with what I brought today for this match.
Okay.
I'm going LIJ wins this match.
Ooh, and Sonata's not in there, right? Oh, because Sonata's got a match against Zack Sabre Jr.
Right.
I don't know, Kev. I don't know, because Evil and Sonata aren't together. They don't work well when they're not together.
I'm going to go Suzuki-Gun. I think the Taichi taking over, this is where it starts.
Wait, who's on the Taichi team?
That's a good
call. El Desperado and Kanemura.
Oh, so Fuck Nuts is out of there.
Suzuki?
The guy that you said he was going to turn on.
Minoru Suzuki.
You know what? That's a good pick. I'll go with that one. Who'd you take?
Suzuki-Gun.
Okay, yeah, I'm going Suzuki-Gun.
Fucking bullshit reason to fucking piggyback on a pick.
Look, it's five teams. I could give less of a shit about any one of them. Whoa. The only one I like is
Matt.
Tom Ishii.
Matt, let me just pick everyone you pick. Oh,
big
my God.
Tom Ishii.
Really? Did we pick everyone he picked?
All right. Next up. Tag team match. Jushin Thunder Liger's retirement match.
Yes.
Jushin Thunder Liger and Naoki
Sano.
Naoki Sano against Ryu Lee, which is Dragon Lee, and the Time Bomb, Hiromu Takahashi.
I think
You gotta go Liger.
No, I don't.
You gotta go Liger.
Nope.
You're not taking Liger for his fucking final match?
Nope.
I'm going with Takahashi and Ryu Lee.
Why? What's the reasoning?
Come on, man. You're a smart guy. Figure it out.
All right. Why?
First of all, I think it's a tag match, so you protect Jushin Thunder Liger. He doesn't get pinned.
In his final match?
I still think he might get pinned, though.
It's possible, but I mean, why not get pinned by if Hiromu does what we think he's going to do the night before, he's going to be the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion. So who better to pin than Jushin Thunder Liger, the man who put the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship
on the map. Can I change my pick?
Nope.
Can I change my pick?
I'm not.
You didn't even make a pick yet.
Yeah, he did. He said you got to go Liger.
First of all, Kevin, you can't tell somebody they can't change your pick because you have changed your pick before.
Fair enough. But yeah, but we all have, but I don't like that he did it because we...
But
spoke
you did
it. I've never done it based on what.
That's not true. The last pay per view, the Ring of Honor one, when
he's
I said
so
villain,
full of shit this
villain Enterprises, I think Flip's going to turn on Marty, and you said, "Can I change my pick?" And we let you pick
right.
Bandido.
If that's true, then I'll let it. I mean, obviously, I have no choice. But
yeah, I hate that I'm changing it, but I'm changing it. Fuck it.
Don't hate. Masturbate.
I do all the time, and I hate masturbate.
Tag team match for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championships. The Bullet Club, Taiji Ishimori and El Fantasmo defend against Roppongi Bongi Bongi Bongi.
I am going with Roppongi Bungie Bungie Bungie.
Right. Am I going to be an asshole because I'm picking Roppongi Bungie?
No, sorry. I apologize. I'm sorry.
I'm also taking Roppongi Bungie 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 because I think from here, El Fantasmo jumps up to the junior heavyweight tag singles run to go after Mr. Takahashi.
He leaves Taiji Ishimori behind?
Taiji Ishimori can jump up there, too, if he needs to.
Yeah, let him jump on these nuts.
Singles match for the British Heavyweight Championship. Zack Sabre Jr. defends against Sonata.
It's a shame he's not against the former champion, Tanahashi.
This match...
What a fucking surprise that was.
This match has both men at favorites. Sabre is minus 111. Sonata is minus 125. So this is probably the closest in terms of betting odds. Sonata got the win over Zack Sabre Jr. at the G1 Night 1. And these guys have been going back and forth. You did see Zack Sabre Jr. get pinned by Bushi on the road to Wrestle Kingdom. And I think that's because Sonata has been banged up. So I think that's a failsafe for New Japan Pro Wrestling. I love Sonata. So I'm going to bet with my heart here. And I'm going to take Sonata to become the British Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah, this is night two. They do a lot of title changing, and we really haven't had a lot of title changing so far, right?
Well, the show hasn't happened yet.
No, but usually Wrestle Kingdom, like, didn't they change all the belts last year? Didn't every single title change hands last year?
I will tell you right now.
A lot of title changes happen on this show.
I thought last year every single title that was up for grabs hands.
If it wasn't last year, it was the year before.
Let's see.
Because you're right. Because we've talked about it and how like shocked we were, like how many title changes happened on these shows.
Ospreay beat Ibushi last year for the NEVER Openweight Singles Championship.
Mm-hmm.
L.I.J. of Bushi and Shingo defeated Suzuki Goon, Kanemura, and El Desperado, who were the tag champions in Roppongi Bungi.
Mm-hmm.
Zack Sabre Jr. beat Big Tom for his British Heavyweight Championship.
Mm-hmm.
L.I.J. of Sonata and Evil beat Gorillas of Destiny and the Young Bucks,
mm-hmm.
the IWGP Championships. Juice Robinson beat Cody.
Mm-hmm.
Taji Ishimori beat Kushida.
Mm-hmm.
Naito beat Jericho for
mm-hmm.
the title.
Mm-hmm.
And Tanahashi beat Kenny Omega. So every title changed hands last
yep.
year at Wrestle Kingdom 13.
Yep. I'm going Sonata. Fuck Matt's heart. It just makes sense.
Don't you dare disrespect my heart.
Sorry, I didn't mean to. Your heart's beautiful. Your feet are
now,
fucking raw.
Yeah, I know.
Wait, did Kevin pick?
I did not pick.
Keep in mind, though.
Wait, you were ready to ignore Kevin?
No.
What, want me to take out the European belt?
No, keep in mind, this was a weird time where AEW wasn't a thing when these programs were started. So look at all your champions that lost. Cody, gone. Jericho, Gonzo. Omega, Gonzo.
Gonzo was there.
That's all right.
So I don't know if that factored into the decisions.
Did the decisions.
I fucking hate you.
Yeah,
I fucking love your feet.
He didn't do anything bad.
I'm sorry. I told you my feet fucking stink. Leave me alone.
I also have Sonata. It's highlighted.
You say Sonata. I say Majada.
All right.
Oh, God. The next match.
Next year.
What?
No changes. Picks have to be made before we talk.
You know why? Because it's close. If he was ahead by 20, he'd be like, change everything you want. I don't care.
I will do no such thing because you are a hypocrite because you are the one who wants to always change matches.
But I didn't start that trend, I don't think. I may have tagged on when other people did it.
He's mad because he's not in first place.
All right. Next match is for your IWGP.
Oh, boy. The dreaded TBD defends against Juice Robinson.
So me and Kevin took the mocks. You took Lance Archer.
I took
Archer.
Lance, yes.
It's going to be one of two guys. This does not
matter, right?
Yeah, this doesn't matter.
I'm going with Juice Robinson.
I'm also going with Juice Robinson.
Really? You really think that oh, because you guys are sticking... Yeah, but you guys are picking Moxley to win and then lose the title the next night?
Moxley took the title from Juice Robinson. They were supposed to have a rematch. Moxley couldn't get there because of the tsunami. Lance Archer filled in.
I changed my pick. I'm picking Tsunami.
Archer won the title.
Okay, but here's the problem.
Never got his rematch. I think this is Juice's time.
Okay, so you will take that pick regardless if it's Moxley or Lance Archer?
Correct.
So even if Lance Archer wins, you're going to go with that?
Correct.
Now, what if I decided that I wanted to say that Lance Archer defends both nights and he loses the first night? Then I'm fucked on 2 points.
So would you? So me and Kevin are in the same boat, or I'm on an island by myself. It doesn't matter who the champion is for me. Do you want to wait and see who the champion is?
I would like to, but okay. If Kevin doesn't want to, I'll go along with that as well.
I'm not against it.
I have to respect that.
Because you know what I'm saying? Like, it's tough. Like, if I say, like, I want to stay with Lance Archer and he loses, well, then I'm fucked the next night.
Right,
if I
you
have
lose
to lock
two
in.
Points versus one. That's fine.
All right, so we'll hold off on that one.
So then
I'm sticking with Juice. You can do whatever you want to do.
Just for sake of being consistent, we will hold off on... I think Juice Robinson is going to win, but...
No, but who did you take the first round?
Moxley.
Okay, so...
But, you know, if Archer... Like, you know what I mean? Like... You never know how something can go.
It could be Lance versus, and then Juice. You guys would get screwed if you locked in. No, because you're picking.
I'm taking Juice.
All right, so he's taking Juice regardless. So he's locked. That's his feeling.
Just because I know what you're saying, just to be consistent with what you're saying, I will hold off.
Yeah, like I don't think either one of us or any of us should be penalized for a pick. Like even with the main event that we're going to get to.
Right,
you know?
That's fine. I'm not against it.
I mean, I'm setting my ways on it. Right. Like, I'm with you, but, like, God forbid something happens between now and, like, or night one. God forbid, like, something.
Okay. So, we'll hold off then.
Okay.
But in spirit, I'm with you, man.
All right. Kenta defends the NEVER Openweight Championship against Hirooki Goto.
I have who I want in mind. I just want some clarification. What has Hirooki Goto done in recent history? Oh, if you don't know, then fuck it.
No. I want to make sure I get this right. He went off to the LA Dojo. He kind of had a down year. He had a really nice G1, and it seems like he's got his sights set on this... NEVER Openweight Championship. He has been doing a lot of stuff with Shibata at the LA Dojo, and I think that factors into the story with Kenta attacking Shibata at the end of the G1 where he turned.
Shibata.
Okay. So I think we have a new NEVER Openweight Champion. I think Shibata costs Kenta the match, which eventually will lead to Shibata getting cleared and having a one-on-one match with Kenta where there is no title at stake. So I am taking Hirooki
Kenta. See, Kenta is booked in a weird spot here because he's had the title successfully for a while now.
He is probably, let's look it up.
Probably one of the most successful NEVER Openweight Champions of all time.
Outside of Masato Tanaka, who had it for 314 days.
Yeah, but everybody in recent history has won it and lost it.
Right. Well, you know, Minoru Suzuki is the second longest guy here at 252. And then after he lost it, Hirooki Goto had it from Wrestle Kingdom to Dominion, and then it flip-flopped. Elgin had it for 8 days. Goto got it back. Taichi beat Goto. Goto beat Taichi. Ibushi beat Goto. Osprey beat Ibushi. Cobb beat Osprey. So right now, Kent is at 113 days because he beat Big Tom at Royal Quest back in August, the end of August.
That seems too long, though. That seems too long. My gut was telling me Kenta, but that seems too long. You know, so, fuck it. Let's stay with Kenta. I think Kenta retains.
I'm going to stick with what I have highlighted just because of the fuss that I just made. So, Kenta.
All right.
All right. We're going to skip these. We're going to wait on these.
The title matches. Yes. Okada, Ibushi, White, and Naito.
Okay.
The only other match is the match with AEW World Championship implications. The hero of all things holy, Hiroshi Tanahashi, takes on Chris Jericho.
And if Tanahashi wins, he will receive a match for Jericho's AEW World Championship, likely at an All Elite Wrestling event.
Is that just like Twitter banter or is that real?
No, that's real. Apparently Tony Khan gave the okay for it. Well, quote unquote okay. So I'm sure that this has been planned. That being said, fucking go Ace. Tanahashi is going to fucking make Jericho fucking look stupid, and he's going to win.
I agree with Tony. Yep. I don't think he's going to make him look stupid.
Oh, he will. But he's fucking Tanahashi.
This is pretty close to odds-wise. Tanahashi is minus 130 versus Jericho plus 100.
It's setting up a bigger picture.
It's even money if you bet Jericho, or you double your money if you bet Jericho. You win, $30 if you bet Tanahashi. So... I'm going Tanahashi as well. So we're all in agreement on the ace.
We are in agreement on the ace.
So let's freestyle. Who are you thinking right now without making your picks for the main events?
Well, look, the main event, I could give a shit less about the losers. I really don't. I mean, I'm sure it'll be a fucking amazing match. The implications of that match, I would like to see, you know, if whoever wins that match gets the first shot at the Intercontinental Championship. Do they get the first shot at the Heavyweight Championship?
That has not been determined at all.
It's not been determined yet. Here's where my brain is at. Okay. Jay White, he has constantly said he is going to become the double champion.
Well, good for him.
He, granted, does have a little help with the Heat Seeker himself, Mr. Gato.
I hate that fucking piece of shit. I hope
and the Bullet Club.
Hope they fucking, their kayak falls into one of the fucking rivers in Japan.
So as much...
Not that they get hurt, but they can't make it to the show, and they lose.
So Ibushi wins the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. He has it for one night.
Nope.
He loses to Jay White.
Nope. Never, 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 never.
What better story to tell than after the match, we have a Bullet Club beatdown, and who saves the day? Kenny Omega.
You're going to piss away an entire fucking, like, length?
No, 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 no. Kenny Omega comes back. Kenny Omega saves Ibushi. Now Jay White says...
Golden Lovers.
Now Jay White says, right, you want some of this, right? Kenny Omega? You want some? Let's go to beginnings in February. Kenny Omega beats Jay White. He becomes the IWGP Heavyweight Champion.
Oh, really?
You're thinking way far.
Yeah,
way
this is... Oof.
I like it.
Kota Ibushi wants on Kenny the Omega. One thing that Kenny Omega has never afforded him, and that's a one-on-one match for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. Ibushi pins his best friend with the history of the Golden Lovers at Dominion in June, and Ibushi walks out. The champion.
This is some like professor type booking.
I can see that story.
Oh, it's brilliant.
However, I can see Ibushi winning both titles, still getting the beat down, still having Kenny Omega come to help him, and still having the main event match where Kenny Omega loses to his best friend, the reigning IWGP champion, Kota Ibushi. That's the way I see that going down.
I'm not nearly as long-term as that, which is amazing, by the way. But like from what I've read like in the last couple of days, there are two schools of thought. It's either Ibushi or Naito. Everyone wants Naito. Like it seems like more it's like 60-40 Naito. People want Naito to have it.
Naito, he's a fucking maniac,
but
dude.
I feel like Ibushi's like, he's never had it. So like, and you've been pro Ibushi, like.
Love Ibushi. He is such a sympathetic baby face. It's fucking off the charts, unreal. Unreal.
I never saw Ibushi as the New Japan guy. Maybe because I don't watch it enough. Maybe I have no idea what I'm talking about. To me, it's always Okada Naito, to me.
Yeah.
So like,
no, that makes sense. I get that.
That story makes sense for Naito, but the Ibushi story makes sense. What Matt said is goddamn brilliant, and... It makes me feel like a fucking schmuck for not even thinking that far ahead.
I just don't like pissing away another 6 months of Ibushi just to fucking get Kenny Omega.
But how are you pissing away
the story, though?
The friendship, the love that they share for each other,
the golden love.
Because this is Ibushi's time. He did it. He's got to do it on his own. He's got to do it on his own.
He's gonna do it on his own when he pins Kenny Omega in the middle of the ring in June.
He's going to fucking make Jay White look stupid again, and he's going to fucking beat him again, and that's going to be all there is to it.
I'm super interested to see what they do. Like, how do... So, these guys are double champions. What's the next step, right?
How long does that last as a double champ?
Right? Like, what do we do? Is Ibushi defending both titles?
Every single time? No.
Maybe the titles get merged.
All I can do this is correlate it with... The only time that we've seen this in a while is when Becky Lynch won both Raw and SmackDown.
Seth Rollins was defending the U.S.
That's silly.
Yeah, why would that fucking make sense?
Because they're not two world championships.
Well, neither are these.
Ah, that's fair. That's a good point.
You know, it's not like he's winning the Raw and SmackDown New Japan titles.
But to me, I feel like they are, to me, for some reason.
It's like 1 and 1A. Like the
come on. Let's not go that far.
I think it's got to be, Tony.
The Intercontinental Champion sometimes is the guy who's next in line. You've seen in the past. Maybe it might not be title for title, but I want to say Wrestle Kingdom 12.
This is some like fucking Rob Van Dam TV title elevated shit.
Agreed.
But no, I don't agree with that. I don't think that's the case.
You
at
never
all.
Thought that title was sometimes more valued than the ECW World Championship?
100%. The TV title became so much more important when Rob Van Dam had it for as long as he did.
And they tried it with WWE. They tried it when John Cena had it. They tried it when Seth Rollins had it.
But you can't tell me the IWGP Intercontinental title is on par.
I think it is. I think when you have guys like Jay...
Well, then maybe that's why they're doing this, because they want to merge the belts. Maybe there's not going to be individual title defenses.
Oh, no, not if you're going to have certain guys move up to the division. Like, if you're going to have Will Ospreay move
why
up to the
why do you have the United States
division?
Championship, then?
Because there's a lot of mid-card talent. But you that's also, still a mid-card belt to
you
me
You have
now.
The British heavyweight title. You have the never openweight title. Like, how many fucking belts do they need in Japan?
They have a lot.
That's a they whole have
different,
a ton well,
that's
of
a whole
them.
Different ballgame.
But a lot of those titles aren't exclusive to New Japan Pro Wrestling. The IWGP championships are exclusive to New Japan Pro Wrestling, maybe. I might be speaking out of turn when I say that, so I apologize.
I thought the never belts were like absorbed into.
I think you're right. Let's look here.
So you've got the never open weight. You've got the never open weight six man. That's extra belts right there.
But just if you want to go back to like the top, look at the top four guys in the match. Okada and... to me, the top two guys, and no disrespect to Jay Will and Ibushi, the two biggest stars to me are Okada and Naito. Yeah, and they're in two separate matches for two different belts.
I don't know if involving Kenny Omega and an Ibushi loss is going to help Kota Ibushi at all.
Maybe belts are treated differently in Japan. Maybe that's it too, because like the U.S. title and the Intercontinental title can fluctuate from mid card to top guy.
Well, the
at
US,
a moment's notice,
the U.S. title is probably about on par with the never openweight championship at this point. I don't think it really means all that much in New Japan.
What?
I don't think it does, dude.
Well,
I don't
in comparison
think it does.
In comparison to the Intercontinental Championship in New Japan, I think Intercontinental Championship is way more.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean.
But I mean, Rey Mysterio is your U.S. champ right now.
No, Andrade,
which is awesome, by the way. And then what? Your Intercontinental Champion is...
Shinsuke? Is he still the IC champ?
Come on.
Which wasn't like it was when... I mean, it's a tier lower than when John Cena and Seth Rollins. But that was also when Brock Lesnar wasn't around and he was your champ. So that was like your top belt.
Now, let me ask you guys a question. We're talking a lot about Ibushi, Jay White, Naito. Is it crazy that we're not talking about Okada in any form of this?
I mentioned this.
No, I mean... like
as a possibility
as
of
him
winning?
Walking out as the double champion.
I don't know. I just went by what I researched and what I looked up online and what I
saw. You know,
saw.
Matt makes a good point. And Okada's been he's been amazing.
I could see Okada winning the first match.
That's the problem right now in New Japan. The only one I hate out of the four is Jay White.
Yeah, but Jay White is so...
To me, it's been Ibushi's year to do it. I love Naito. I love Okada. Okada beating Jay White when we were at the Garden, that was a fucking home run, bro. That was amazing. Not even the fact that he beat Jay White, but the Rainmaker is cool as shit. But I think with the story, you'd be crazy not to think Ibushi was walking out with all the gold on this one.
I can't argue that. I can't argue.
You can't argue anything with this, really.
I can't argue any of the four walking away with
like
anything.
Matt tells me Jay White's walking out with everything. I can completely 100% see that.
Oh, I can 100%.
If it happens, 100% agreed.
See any of these guys walk. It's just.
Like you're right, though. We did throw Okada a little bit. We didn't give him enough credit.
But I mean, Okada's been done. He's done so much. Like, if there's one guy that can afford to take a loss in this whole series, it's Okada.
And I'll say this. I might be biased because I'm not on the WWE bandwagon, but I think your wrestler of the decade is Okada. If you look at where New Japan
what
Pro
about
wrestling,
Tanahashi?
If you look at... No. If you look at where... Listen.
No, he's going to show his work.
All right. If you look at where New Japan Pro Wrestling was in 2012 when Okada first beat Tanahashi, you forget Tanahashi's been around a long time.
Yeah,
and
yes.
To his credit, Tanahashi dragged New Japan through the early 2000s when they were not
where they are
anywhere.
Wasn't he one of the guys responsible? Excuse me, for resurrecting New Japan after the whole fucking Brock Lesnar and all that shit debacle?
He was the guiding light through that time.
I'm going to be your guiding light.
It was a shell of itself, but when Okada beat Tanahashi the first time, a lot of people were against it for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship.
I'm sorry, who did Brock Lesnar beat?
Tanahashi?
That's right.
No, Tanahashi beat Brock Lesnar.
Oh, that's what I meant.
That was the whole IWGP third title. Oh, what a fucking debacle
that was.
It's
just so weird. We've been calling him Tanahashi for so long that whenever someone says Tanahashi, it just
he's like, what?
It doesn't make sense to me.
Tanahashi.
You just look at how much he's matured and how much he has match of the nights. And, I mean, look, in 2012, they sold out a quarter of Tokyo Dome for Wrestle Kingdom. Now, 8 years later, they're going to sell out back-to-back 80,000 people.
That's fucking insane.
At Wrestle Kingdom. And, I mean, Okada's been the guy for the past 8 years.
Okada number one in the PWI 500 this year?
This year, no. Last year,
Seth
yes.
Rollins was last this year, I believe.
No, last year was Omega?
2 years ago, then.
It was 2 years ago. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it was Seth Rollins.
Rollins this year.
Yeah.
Look, and there's a lot of people like, oh, you get so-and-so needs to be... If you really look at the wrestling business as a whole and where New Japan Pro Wrestling was in 2012 versus where it is now, Okada is a huge, huge reason for that. And it's crazy to think that he went to TNA on an excursion.
Oh, my God.
And they did zero with him.
Yep.
They turned him into a stereotypical
Jabron.
Japanese character.
A Jabron.
It's fucking crazy.
It was a joke.
Yep.
A joke.
So, I'm fucking excited. I'm kind of bummed that I'm going to be in Florida for this.
Ooh, but I'll have credentials, won't I?
Always, buddy. Always.
Oh, fucking A, dude. I think I'm going to be renting the next NWA pay-per-view as well. What's it called? Hold on,
Hard
loosely.
Times.
Oh, Hard Times.
Hard Times, daddy.
You like I went for the 38 special reference there?
Yeah.
I'm excited.
I am, too.
I'm super jacked up for
you
this.
You should be very happy. I let you talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling for over an hour and a half tonight.
This is a... We're almost at the, you know, the 3 hour or the 2 hour mark here. Or two
yeah, I know. It's
mark.
Getting late. I kind of want to wrap up because I want to go to bed. I still have to work tomorrow. I still got to work this
week.
Does
your kid
week.
Have school tomorrow?
No, he's off. He's been off.
Oh, that's right. It's Christmas.
He was off all last week. He's off all this week. It's crazy. 2 o'clock in the morning. Like it's midnight. He's like, I'm not tired. I don't want to go to bed. I want to stay up. I said, your ass stay up. You're going to bed. That's all I need. An 11-year-old wandering around the house at 2 a.m. fucking making noise and shit.
I mean, at least he's in the house.
Oh, fine. Sure. I guess. But
in your house.
In your house. Do you guys have anything that you want to close out the year with? Any kind of like things that surprised you in the past decade or the past year in wrestling? Or
did we want to? I guess we don't.
I mean, we
could
throw it out for just a few minutes if you want.
The Jim Cornette shit again.
What happened with him now?
What you know the comment on the Game Changer match with Jordan Oliver and somebody and. And just him continuing the shit on stuff that maybe he doesn't understand, but at the same time could possibly have a reason to get shit on.
The same
Kit Finley chimed in on it.
The same guy that didn't...
We don't have to.
Well, I mean, this is the same guy that loved Mance Warner until he found out that Mance Warner was a hardcore wrestler. The same guy that didn't understand why the NWA wanted him to like kind of take back what he said about fucking KP Burke.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, look, Matt coined it a long time ago, and I didn't want to believe it. He's a fucking crazy old guy that wants to be relevant. And I don't look. I watched it. Jordan Oliver, crazy talented. It was definitely a couple steps behind the whole Will Ospreay Ricochet thing. It was definitely a couple steps behind that. I get what they were going for. A little sloppy in spots, but wrestling's sloppy in spots. It is what it is. You know,
well, look,
do I hate it? No, I don't hate it. These guys were going for something. It may have worked for some. It didn't work for others, but they pulled off something cool.
Here's the beauty of it.
It's... Oh, here we go. The beauty.
No,
I want to hear it.
These guys have to hone their craft somewhere. You're in front of the GCW crowd. You know what they like.
Yeah.
Go out. Do your thing. Right. Look, Michael Elgin. He took a very
diplomatic.
No, not diplomatic, but he was supportive, yet he gave constructive criticism. And
there
he didn't
you go.
Do it through he did it through Twitter, but he did it through DMs to them. Hey guys, I like what I saw. Here's a couple things you should do. And he was very open and public about this is what I did. Pro wrestling's for everybody.
That's cool as shit.
He mentioned the direct messages that he sent.
He didn't mention what he said in the direct messages, but he said, I reached out to Jordan Oliver and this other kid, and I told them what I liked and some gave them constructive criticism, and both of them were very receptive to that versus Fit Finley, who's like, this is garbage,
the
or whatever
worst.
He said, or Jim Cornette. Like, you guys are You got it. Look, wrestling business changes. Everything changes over time. Every business. The restaurant business.
But that's like Corey Graves syndrome, too. Like, you don't have to fucking put everything in your head onto paper.
Look,
you know?
If you want to reach out to them, look, you guys are... Finley is a wealth of knowledge.
Yeah.
He sees it through different eyes. Don't put it out on fucking Twitter and bash it. Reach out to these guys. Teach them. Help them.
Yeah, no. Finn could have actually... Yeah, he could have done the same thing that Michael Elgin did.
Finn could have done... I was surprised when I saw Fitz... thing.
And no disrespect to Michael Elgin, but like Matt said, Fit Finley's got a whole other different kind of wealth of knowledge that he could have showed them as well, you know?
And I'm not saying everybody has to like it, but don't go and shit on it. You guys are the veterans. This business does not continue to progress unless you fucking man up, accept the fact that the business is changing, and guide them. They're not going to fucking do the stalling 80s and 90s matches. It's a different time. You can teach them.
He's nailing it. To add to that, I forget who I was listening to. It might have been, I want to say Jim Ross, but it was one of the guys I listened
to. It's got to be Jim Ross because he's open to it.
And they said that guys these days don't travel the road with the veterans anymore. It used to be years ago, you'd get like one or two veterans in a car and you got a couple of new guys with them. And that's how they learned about the business. Nowadays, it's four or five people coming through the same system in the same car and there's no wealth of knowledge. There's nobody sitting there telling them stories about how things progressed and how things used to be and what to look for and what not to look for.
Well, look at the veterans nowadays. Like, I'm just saying it as an example. WWE, your veterans are guys like AJ Styles, guys like Rey Mysterio, who are in their 40s and 50s, who started working a different style than the guys before them.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe they're the guys that are okay with doing that kind of stuff. So, like, and your Ricochet, who's been around for a while, and your... So many different styles.
But it's kind of like AJ Styles probably has certain people that he rides with, which is fine. But even back in the day, like, Mark Henry would travel towns with The Undertaker. Albert would travel with Undertaker.
But I'm saying AJ Styles might not be the guy. Like, AJ Styles worked a different style.
AJ Styles should be the guy that's setting forth, like, some of the stuff as well.
Look, AJ Styles matches when he's almost 50, or not, I'm not going to say almost 50, he's 42 years old, he's still a high flyer, this and that.
Yeah, but he's got 20 years of experience. He's been to TNA, he's been to Japan, he's been in WWE.
It's every business. You either adapt or you go away.
Yeah.
Like, I'm in the restaurant business, and getting table service means zero now. It's all about DoorDash, Uber Eats. People are fucking lazy. They don't care how they get their food. They just want it. So it's like, we get people that come in the restaurant. You got to give them that great service to keep them coming back. Right. Otherwise, they're just going to go on their fucking phone from their living room and they're going to order food. And you either adapt to that and you find out how to make that service better while still maintaining that the people who are walking through your door are the people you want to keep coming back. Because they're going to keep the ship afloat. But you still have to accept the fact that the restaurant industry, the food industry, is moving in a different direction where it's just like a click of a button and some fucking crazy fuckface picks up your food and maybe eats a couple French fries and he drops off the wrong order and you're stuck holding your dick and your food and your kid's hungry.
Like, and even like in the movie industry.
See, that's like, that's one thing I miss about like actual restaurants, like pizzerias, whatnot, having actual delivery people on staff. Because when you have somebody else pick up your food, like, there's no accountability. Like, oh, he fucking ate my food. Well, who gives a shit? He's not responsible to anybody. But, like, you know, fucking Joe, who works at the pizzeria, and that's his job to go deliver food. If he fucks with the food, that's his livelihood. Nobody's going to fucking hire him, you know?
Right. But it's back to you either adapt or you fade away.
Like the motion picture industry. With Netflix, Amazon Prime, this and that, Hulu, all this stuff, the motion picture industry still has to adapt. The fact that I could watch a movie at my house without ever having to go to the theater.
Perfect example. Netflix went to Blockbuster when they were still a DVD service and said, hey, why don't you get in with this? You know, this is going to be big. Blockbuster said, no, thank you. Where's Blockbuster now? There's one location left in Oregon, and it's independently owned. That's it. Yeah, I know. You can get merchandise, too, on their website.
Moving to Oregon.
You can get merch. You can go online and get merch from there. Yeah. Like ID cards and everything. It's fucking fantastic. However, had they fucking listened to Netflix, you might see Blockbuster Netflix still in business. You know what I'm saying?
Probably right.
There's all these veterans out here.
Mm-hmm.
And they just, like, help these kids. You know, it might not be your cup of tea, but one, you tell them one thing, just one, just give them one drop of knowledge, and that could change the whole, not just their career, the whole wrestling industry.
And there's things that don't change. You still got to tell a story when you're in the ring, you know? They're still slowing things down, knowing when to go fast and when to take a chill for a little while.
And that's where the evolution may never satisfy people because, like, in 10 years, the veterans, like, with all due respect to Fit Finlay and Arn Anderson and Jim Ross, these guys aren't going to be around forever. In 10, 15 years, your veterans that you're going to seek wrestling advice from are going to be the guys that work this style. Like, they're going to be the Young Bucks. They're going to be Ricochet. They're going to be, you know, Cedric Alexander, AJ Styles.
And, I mean, that's fine because the fundamentals always need to be there.
Right.
And that's going to separate the good from the bad, the great from the good, you know?
Right. These guys didn't get where they got just because they don't know what they're doing.
Right.
The sad thing is it's when these younger guys
ignore
see
them.
All the venom that is out there and they just stop, you know, the day, like... You've seen it at like a WrestlePro or PWS show where you'll see the kids, the students will ask, talk to a John Morrison or the Rock and Roll Express. Hey, watch my match. Can you watch this? Can you just critique it?
Yep.
You know, and it's getting to the point where it's like you put something online and the people like Michael Elgin fall to the wayside because it's all this hate.
Yep.
And this negativity, and people gravitate towards that shit.
The Young Bucks are fucking flippy guys. Jordan Oliver, who does he think he is? You know, he's fucking doing all these flips and shit.
So these kids are going to, they're not going to look to their peers, to the elders, to the veterans. They fuck these, they're just going to, why would I go to Kevin if he's just going to shit all over everything I do?
Because that's what Kevin does. He shits on everything.
Right. Kevin's the veteran. He's been in the business for 20 years. I just had a match at a WrestlePro show.
20-year vet.
And I go in the back and
corporate.
Do I even want to talk to him? Am I afraid he's just going to fucking shit all over me? Instead of teach me.
Yep.
Give me a little bit of information. What can I do better?
That's why I love like listening to Jerry Lynn talk about this because he gets asked all the time. And he's
Jerry
like,
Lynn's probably the best of both worlds.
Amazing,
right there.
Amazing. Like if
Jerry
I was
Jerry Lynn, Lance Storm.
If I was in the business though, I would be picking Jerry Lynn's brain about every fucking thing because he's been around and back. You know,
and he could work any style of match that you want. He could do the high spot, this and that, and he could do the you know the on the ground stuff. Which
and
is...
he was talking about his feud with Van Damme. He's like, we've wrestled each other so many times because our matches always told a story, and it always progressed. It's like, okay, we started out with the sequence. Now we change it up because we know what we're going to start with, so we want to counter everything that we do. So it's like, okay, Van Damme hit me with this right away. Next match we start out, I know it's coming. I'm going to block it. I'm going to duck. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. So they were constantly building. That's why they fucking wrestled each other for a year and a half, you know? It wasn't lazy booking. It was smart booking because they always told a better and further story with each match.
Yeah, you look, the longest programs on, like, house shows and all this stuff are usually the best programs and the best storytellers. Ric Flair, Steamboat, you know,
yeah.
Ric Flair, Terry Funk, you know, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Austin. Like.
And you know what's funny? I was doing some research. You know Ricky Steamboat only held the NWA Championship for, like, 40 or 50 days? You don't think about that because that story was such a long stretch.
Yeah.
But he was only the champion for a little while, you know? But you don't realize that because the story was so good. You, like, honestly, thinking about it, I was like, wow, Steamboat was probably champ for, like, 3 months, and then Ric Flair was champ for 3 months. No.
No, what, they go, like, time limit draw to clash that he beat him at the...
It was time limits. It was, like, a double pin, and Steamboat didn't want the... Flair didn't want the belt, so they held it up, and they had another match. There was just so much involved, dude. It was great storytelling.
Yeah, you mentioned, like Jerry Lynn, RVD, like, all these... How many times do you think Jerry Lynn and Justin Credible wrestled each other when they were both in the prime? Probably like every night.
Yeah.
Like whenever, I mean, I don't know how many times ECW ran outside of, you know, TV at the time, but like Harley Race, Ric Flair, like, come
yeah.
on, like.
Well, that would be a boring match by today's standards. You know, clearly. Half hour headlock that Matt hates so much, but.
No, I don't like the bear hug. Get it right.
Oh, the bear hug's cute. When Bruno's got his big burly arms wrapped around somebody and. Giving him a squeeze. I think he actually got his arms around Haystacks Calhoun once. Yeah, Haystacks. Easy for me to say.
Like Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart. Like, come on. Like
Bret Hart, Austin was a great fucking story arc, too. That was probably one of the best
Bret
of
Hart,
all time.
Owen Hart would do Iron Man matches in the entire house show, Lou.
Owen Hart. You know.
Right.
All right, let's pull this train to the station.
Yes, please. My God, I'm getting tired.
We want to thank all of you that have supported the Shining Wizards, whether it be day one, day 600, 2019, whatever.
Even if you just joined us a couple weeks ago, even if you're joining us for the first time tonight, thank you for joining us.
We wish you all a very happy New Year's. Please be safe. Don't do anything stupid. If you drink a lot, take a fucking Uber or Lyft.
Right.
2020 is going to be huge for the Shining Wizards. We have
like
a lot
big
of
penises.
That's right.
Like big Lars Sullivan-esque penises. Like
Mitch,
big Batista penises.
Mitch
penises.
Bennett. Let's use
Mitch
the shoot
Bennett
names,
penises.
Please.
MitchBennettPenis.com, the homepage of Louis Ramos.
We have a lot planned. We have a lot of great shows, fun guests, rewinds, just great content.
Yeah,
and we
stuff.
Couldn't have done it. We couldn't have gotten this far without you. So continue on the journey with us as we plow towards 2020. And I become the Shining Wizards Wrestling Picks champion. I will graciously... except flower petals at my feet, any Hasbro,
dildos.
Green cards,
dildos from Matt.
I will accept. They don't have to be mint on card. I don't mind the Lucy's.
You have a couple green cards, though.
I have two. I will not torment Kevin and Tony when I become the champion of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast picks. Perhaps I will make t-shirts for them saying, I suck at my picks.
How about you say I'm a fucking loser?
I'm a fucking loser. You never know.
L on the head.
Join us for the journey. We got Wrestle Kingdom this weekend. We got Impact. We got NWA. We got a slate full of amazing guests, friends of the show joining us. I'm just going to keep rambling until one of you
quick
cut me
question.
Off.
I was going to say, we have also the NXT, maybe?
Quick question. One thing that you were completely surprised by in the past decade of wrestling, just one.
The fact that I got back into wrestling this much.
Really? Personal level? I like it.
Sorry.
No, I hadn't watched wrestling from like 2002 till the pipe bomb. So,
well, there you go.
Oh my God, 10 years is a long time.
Yeah.
The first thing off the top of my head was Daniel Bryan coming back. I don't know why that.
Not even the title win after all the shit that they put him through.
Yeah, that was the first thing that came to my head. So that's why I said it. No pun intended.
Probably biggest surprise to me, undefeated streak ended. That was a big one. But personally, look at the fucking wall, dude. Look at all these fucking people that we've rubbed elbows with, had on the show, talked to, met in person. We had fucking people come out to see us live on three different occasions. That's fucking crazy.
That's true.
For fucking three idiots sitting in a basement talking into microphones.
Studio.
On rantiumradio.com. Oh. Matt's favorite podcasting network.
That's right.
He's not even leaning into the microphone.
He's done.
No, I'm good. Look, it's just you take a minute to reflect and, you know.
We celebrated Mick Foley's birthday with him. We got him an Entenmann's cake. Thanks, Phil. We celebrated with Tatanka and
Joey Styles. And some weird other loser who just shoehorned his way into the fucking picture.
That's Dave Powers.
No. Nah, he's all right. It's the other fucking weirdo who just got in there.
That's okay, man.
Oh, listen.
We celebrated with Tatanka and his mullet.
You're right.
So here's to the new decade in 2020.
My God.
I got nothing else to say. Kevin, you any plugs?
Not for the end of the year, guys. Just, again, have a very merry, safe, happy new year. Uber is the way to go.
This is for
and
you,
next
Tony.
Week, we're going to talk about how great it was seeing Kota Ibushi win both championships.
Kota Ibushi?
I said Kota, didn't I? Did I say it funny?
That's a great character, Conan O'Bushi.
I'm wearing the shirt right here, by the way, the G1 Climax winner. What a performance. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, all.
Have a happy new year. Have a safe new year. We'll see you next week.